Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap донсон trap донсон trap Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа Дадаш дуудан дур булаа мөрөө таа
Testing 1 2 Testing. Oh, now I hear something.
Now I hear.
Hello, hello, hello.
New York, yeah. Unique. New York, unique.
Are we ready?
Welcome.
Are we rolling?
To MMA.
Hey, everybody! Roasted. Welcome to our brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Mayhem Miller, Jason Mayhem Miller, as well as Ween Dog.
What's up, dude?
It's going to be a great podcast. We are at Better Box Studios sponsored by Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California and probably everywhere else at this point. So get it delivered. Okay, we went, where did we go the other day? Like at an Apple store of marijuana. Yes. It was
so weird.
It was unbelievable. So get it delivered. Don't leave your house. Dispensaries could be a trap. You spend all day there. You have stuff to do, okay? Get it delivered. Go to Speedweed. I used the THC sex lube last night with my wife. We had amazing experiences.
Breathtaking.
My dick got the munchies.
I don't know about going to the damn weed store, man. I had a...
You didn't like it there.
I remember. I think everybody at like a certain... Once you get to age 30,
yeah,
you like better have a story like this of like fucking up with the edible.
Yeah.
Because I like walked into that weed store when I was... I don't know.
Yeah.
And the girl said to me, yeah, these cookies are good. Because, I was training for fights. I didn't want to smoke. Right. I didn't want to inhale the carcinogens. I wanted to eat and, relax that way. And I asked her, so how much of this cookie do I take? And this, I won't call her fat.
Okay.
But, she was a big bone lady.
Right, yeah.
She was like, I eat a whole one of them. And I was like, all right. I ate a quarter of that thing. And I was seeing fucking robots on the ceiling. So just be careful, kids. Just be careful with that.
And what fight was before this? This was before what fight?
Fuck if I know. I don't know. Come on, bro.
Your fights all blend in.
You're like, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's a big blurry mass at this point. And I'm not going to say head injury, but I mean, goddamn. It's more of like that phase of my life when you're training for fights. It's just the same shit. It's just different video games.
But this guy came to a show over the weekend in Vegas and told me that he's like, oh, I love the podcast at Mayhem. He goes, tell him I have pictures of him after one fight. I guess it was back in a day where you won and then took the ring girl that was in there and started spinning her around.
Sounds like something Mayhem would
like
do.
Over your head? Like a helicopter?
Yeah. Basically doing that. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Like a science sort of.
Yeah. It was very like, it's a little patchy. Yeah, but I remember that. Yeah.
Hashtag me too.
I know. God bless you.
Anyway,
I'm editing that part out.
This is mayhem. This is she's probably loving it. So I'm hoping you won. Meanwhile, so I went to Vegas this week, and this is just my luck. Okay, so I had a show Saturday night. It was great. I was at the Strat, and every time I take off to stay for the fight, it's always the worst fight ever. It was like, I took off, my show Saturday, it was for like Wonder Boy Woodley 2, where like, I was sitting, it was actually kind of funny because these guys behind me kept going, this fight sucks, this is terrible, F you guys are pussies. And normally you're like, I like to see you get in there. I look behind me, it was the Diaz brothers yelling this, right? So I asked—
Wait, what fight were they bitching about?
It was Woodley Wonder Boy 2.
Oh, that one, okay. I thought you were talking about this past weekend.
So I actually said to Nate, I go, did you ever have a fight that you couldn't get started? And he goes, yeah, once in the fifth grade, he goes, this kid beat me up and I couldn't get, and everyone made, and I'm like, but he was being serious.
Yeah.
Like he thought that was one of his, like he counts his fifth grade fights.
Yeah, he puts those on his record. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. He's going from the Gracie version, the Gracie way of judging fights. You got to judge for every one of your street fights.
Every one of them.
Is on your record, yeah.
I think that was actually more important than fights he got paid for because he was actually like, he was reliving
the
it.
The passion's the same, bud.
So it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, I have a show. People want to come to my show. I've got a bunch of reservations, yada, yada. Because when I stay, it's like, or the guy that I'm rooting for gets knocked out. Like Colby Covington loses, or I went to the Daniel
Cormier.
You're
not really explaining this right. What fight did you leave at?
I left before, right when the main event started, and I missed the Joanna... Of course.
Idiot.
Of course. It's the greatest fight ever. And I know it. Like if you ever want to go to a fight and you don't want to lay out the money, wait till I leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I leave, just then just come in and it'll be the greatest fight ever. Yeah. Like, and as I'm leaving, I'm looking at my phone. It was like, there'll never be a fight like this. Greatest fight ever. Oh my God. Like, the ring girls are giving out blowjobs to everyone in the crowd. Like, everyone's wives were cool with it. It just it was one of those things where I'm like, of course. Of course, this is what happens.
Yeah.
But when I stay, it's DC versus Jones 1. And then DC, and I'm rooting for DC. Yeah. Or DC Jones 2. I was at that one. Or McGregor Mendez. I was rooting for Mendez. It's always my guy gets knocked out, the guy I'm rooting for, or people are throwing things or sleeping.
So you're saying there's some type of correlation between these events?
I think that the fighters they say Adam just left. Let's turn it on. I mean, it was just one of those things where, yeah. So I left, of course.
How does your wife feel about your narcissistic personality disorder?
She laughs.
It's funny because not for the rest of history, that fight is permanently stained for you, knowing that you could have seen it live, but you left right before.
Of course. And then I couldn't even, when I got back, I tried watching it on one of the websites, and of course, none of them even had it. And then I watched it on, it was on YouTube, but it was half the screen, so I missed all the leg kicks. Yeah. I only watched from the chin down to see it was just one of those things. It was rough. Now, let's talk about that fight, though. That was an amazing fight.
Greatest ever.
Yeah. Now, her head.
I don't know if it was the greatest ever. I think that it was a great fight. Yeah,
greatest female fight. They're saying.
Nah, really?
I thought
it was pretty one sided. Although it looked kind of back and forth, it wasn't. There's no none of the shots that Joanna landed were very significant. I mean, she did put some points up there, but the reality was every hard shot came from Zhang. It was kind of one-sided, where she just walked through any kind of punch, any kind of kick, and she just didn't get any damage. And then she just put Quato on her forehead to start the reactor. It was wild.
I actually wrote, it looked like she got a lot on her mind. And then it looked like her implants just went up through her head and were coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's sexist or just
silly.
Anti-implant. I don't know.
Now, is Zhang the most... Have you ever seen an Asian girl that ripped?
I mean, yeah. But usually when you get her pants off, she got a dick. I don't know. That's just a beastly woman. Maybe she absorbed a testicle in utero.
Yeah.
Has a beast. I don't know what the fuck. She's a genetic anomaly.
Yeah.
And you must be poisoned groundwater in China. You know what I mean? She lives downstream from a testosterone factory. I don't understand.
A prime Vanderlei. A 115 Vanderlei Silva.
I think she might be able to murder Ween Dog with his own arm. I think she could just tear your arm.
He probably
off.
Get
I
a
would love
from
that. Yeah. If I could be naked, I will accept that challenge.
I think, yeah, I know you would.
I'm attracted to her. There's something about her. It's she's a cute little Asian girl, but she's jacked, and you know, she's emotional because after the fight, she's sitting there crying like a 7-year-old kid. I'm I want to bang this chick. Not because she's 7 years old.
Looks like a 7-year-old boy who's vulnerable.
That's why you want to bang her.
She just looks very. I want to go in there and give her a hug. But at the same time, I know she
won't. We just keep stepping it up. Every podcast.
We're never gonna get real sponsors.
We just unfold this onion just ever so slightly.
Yeah. All right, it's creepy onion. I should call you the creepy onion. It was a great fight. But Conor McGregor thought that Joanna won, as did.
Really?
Yeah. He got the wrong girl won, and then the other girl, the 125 pounder champion. You know what I'm talking
Rose,
about.
Rose, Andrade, Shevchenko.
Yeah, but it's like
she won too.
Yeah, but Zhang put up the most, the third most significant strikes of all time.
It was pretty even as far as strikes go.
She
had tighter punches, and her punches were so damn
fast. No, but they were you're missing the point. Significant. The punches that Joanna landed, I mean, she didn't land as many, that's for one.
She had a rock at one point.
Yeah, exactly, but once. And there were not as many of them. You know what I'm saying? The output of significant strikes were higher from Zhang. It's just, and also, you can't take out the human factor. her face was fucked off.
Yeah, that was
like that. You judges are going to look at that. There's no way to avoid that. It's natural instinct. If somebody is really lumped up, it causes like a visceral reaction.
Have you ever had a hematoma like that?
Yeah. Early in my career, I kept getting jabbed in practice, and then I went to the fight, and the dude did the same thing to me, and like I had a big lump on the side of my head, kind of like that. Yeah,
painful.
It was like a nice. It felt like nothing really.
Okay.
It just was like a big lump and looked fucking nasty. The doctors cut it out like weeks later because it was like calcified.
Oh,
looked
wow.
like a piece of chicken. Looked like just a little, you know, like a chicken tender.
I had a lump once like that because you punched me in the face. Yeah,
I remember that.
That really happened.
Yeah.
We did a comedy show and I forgot to invite him to a party. And he's like,
I gave him a, you know, like that playful kind of thing where you fucking shadow box with your buddy. Well, I did a little too hard and this motherfucker ducked right into my left hook. Like he got scared.
I didn't know he was really going to punch me. I didn't get scared. I was like, oh, you got me.
And no, ducked right into it and I felt fucking terrible. Tell this story all the time.
I had a comedy show that night.
And we both disagree on the details.
He started crying afterwards.
Right? I felt so bad. This man had a fucking egg on his head the size of a goddamn, a literal egg.
And he goes, you punch me and then you start crying. And then he tries to make me feel better. He goes, no, you could say you got punched by a pro fighter. And then I had to do comedy, like a set, a 45 minute set. And
you know what? He killed too, by the way.
Try to cover it with makeup. Killed.
Every time someone didn't laugh, it got bigger. Like it just kept fucking growing. Yeah.
Nightmare, bro. Yeah.
And then he's laughing in the corner the whole time. Like
so, no, man. How many times are you gonna make me apologize?
And then to make it as worse, he saves the screenshot, he takes a picture and uses it as my fucking ringtone.
It still is.
Every time I call him, it fucking comes up. That's the picture that comes up.
Bless his heart. Oh, jeez.
All right, so let's talk about the main event. Israel. First of all, I had a parlay of Joanna and Romero, and I thought it could have went either way. Well, it was $50. Would be $600 if I would have won.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, and I feel like it could have both went. They were both good bets, but.
No, they weren't. Obviously not. What do you mean they're both good
bets?
They
were close enough.
They totally fucking
lost. A lot of people thought both of them got robbed.
Yeah, nah. Those people don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
They're fighters.
Well, they still don't know what they're talking about. You ain't got to be smart to be a fighter. The reality is that you can't be like, oh, my feelings are who won the fight.
But Aljamain Sterling, who is ranked number 2 in the world right now, who has his own a new podcast, he thought Romero won, and so did the girl from.
But how?
The girl from New Jersey.
Who what is his argument for that?
Name? The girl from Jersey.
Jersey.
Caitlin
Snookagan.
Snooki. She thought she won too. He said that they had him winning 1, 2, and 5.
Mm.
I mean, you can't see that kind of.
Yeah, sorta. Not really. One. Let's talk about one. One is like. When the Xbox controller gets unplugged, like one guy is just standing there with his hands up. Come on, one? He won. Yeah. You know, I said it in there. I went, oh, he won the round. Because what? He threw one punch.
Were you laughing? With
Fuck yeah.
When he went to the middle of the
did the fucking went, like, shuffle stuff?
Were you laughing?
Yeah, obviously. Shit was ridiculous. You know, I liked it, but at the same time, you know, after like 2 rounds of that, I was like, all right, guys.
Isn't this kind of right up your alley?
Can we fucking fight?
Silliness.
I was getting too. Listen, during my career, I just go fucking ham every time. You know what I mean? Like, get out there. Sure, I'd fuck around at the beginning for like a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. But then once I found a range, let's get after it.
Giving noogies, though, as well.
For sure, but that was like a minute 14.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I like every fight is you know art performance, and these guys at the first round, I felt like Adesanya was smart to respect the man's power, because that's why I fucking made a big deal about this could be the upset of the year, because it could have, you know, but it didn't, because Adesanya played the smart game, made that jab happen, moved out the way, and just, you know, he rose to the level that he was given. You know, and you saw the one takedown he attempted, he landed. He got him down. Adesanya obviously trained to get back up on his feet. But the reality of the fight was that not much happened. It was a fucking snoozer. And, like, Adesanya, yeah, sure, he could have fucking close the deal a little. He could have tried to close the deal a little harder, but you know, Romero is dangerous until the last minute.
But
so
now, what is that with Romero? Like, here's a guy like Cale Sanderson and Dan Gable. People argue are the two of the best American wrestlers of all time, right? Mm-hmm. Cale Sanderson is just—I think it was a four-time national champion, mm-hmm. made the Olympics. Romero beat him twice in wrestling,
mm-hmm. yeah,
twice, which is like unheard of.
Yeah.
Yet he won't shoot a takedown.
I know.
Like, what do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's part of his training camp. Like, they're not having him drill that. Like, mostly he's doing stand-up. I think that the fact that he has knockout power and is aware of that, it might make him, you know, more apt to stand up and trade and make sure that, I don't know. You have to ask him. But it looks like to me is that he's just doing stand-up sparring in the room all the time, and that's what you do. You'll fight the way you train. So this guy is training this way, and so he fights exactly that way. I don't know why. I think that he has a ability to take most anybody down in the UFC. There's no way.
Do you think it's like, because I heard that Ronda's knees were bad, and that's why you never really saw her shoot a double leg. Like, she was almost unable to shoot a double leg.
She's a judo player. You don't fucking shoot a double leg in judo, like, you know what I mean?
Of course,
like,
but you
such
still,
a rare technique.
But you still well, what, can, you're gonna, though.
Yeah, but if, okay, but if an athlete has been doing the same type maneuvers for their entire career since they were fucking six, mm-hmm. okay, you're not going to remake them. If she never does a double leg, you're not going to remake her at 25.
But you could, I mean, a double leg is the easiest thing to
is
do
it?
Somebody.
No, it's not. It's not. If you haven't been doing it your whole life, if you haven't done it since you were young, it's very difficult to update. I know from being a coach and coaching dudes on double leg. A double leg is way harder. You need like these micro muscles in your back, in your legs.
You don't think that. I mean, the kids come to wrestling. And
kids.
The first thing I teach them is double leg.
I know a kid and a grown adult is two different is apples and oranges.
Yeah,
bro.
Good luck teaching
a kid,
double leg.
A kid, I can make this motherfucker into anything in 6 months, pretty much. You know, I can turn him into a kickboxer. I can turn him into a wrestler. I get a kid because their body's so malleable. Their muscles grow at like an alarming rate. They got a shit ton of growth hormone coursing through the vein. They get injured, fucking put some ice on it tonight. Tomorrow they can get in there. You know that. Middle school wrestlers,
yeah.
My God, they fucking snap their arm backwards and they're right back out there next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different life. 25, shooting a double leg when all you've done is hip throws, that's a whole different world, mm-hmm. bud. You wow. know, it's a lot difficult. You know, the old
ball. Right, well, that's Ronda, okay? Yoel Romero has obviously shot double legs before.
His whole life, but so, now he's stuck in his mentality.
Yeah, but do you think maybe it's also maybe some injury that we don't know about?
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Definitely, right?
I mean, no, it's definitely a possibility. But I would just think that, like, it's really what it comes down to training. He's training with those guys over there. Where is it at?
American Top Team. I mean, he's...
Yeah, and guess what they do over there? They spar him. They spar him a lot. He's over there doing stand-up sparring, and he feels comfortable, and he probably fucks everybody up in the room. You know, I can't imagine that he's like on the low end of that team.
But he also has guys like Mako. Yeah. I mean, some of the best wrestlers around.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, and that also might contribute to the fact that he does more stand up. Because why would he wrestle with that guy when he can, you know, defend a takedown, stand up? You know, who knows? We're over here
with all this
conjecture, making up a bunch of things.
It makes sense of like, okay, you're fighting a guy who's. 70-1 as a kickboxer?
I know.
World-renowned kickboxer?
Bro, you're fucking preaching to the choir. I was saying the whole time, look, before the fight, I was calling it out because he's so much better a wrestler that he could get him down in round one, get him down round two, okay? Now take a little steam off the punches and maybe then make it a brawl. But instead, what did we get? Fucking slow motion, standing there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's how the fight went. And, you know, I'm surprised there's not like a kind of an outcry again. I guess Romero's such a likable guy, but he really didn't pull the trigger at all. You know, and granted, fuck, it's easy for me to say I wasn't standing in front of this 6'4 awesome-ass kickboxer. You know, it's easy for me to sit here and go,
you should have, would have, could have. But even most of your fights that I've seen, you had a really good game plan. It never was like if you lost, maybe you got out wrestled by a Dalloway, or maybe you came in out of shape or something. But you always was never like, why is Mayhem doing this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was always pretty much you whatever you kind of used, you used to the best of your ability, whatever you had.
It's strange. I guess we got to get the guy on the show and, like, ask him about it.
I mean, we're not the only one saying it. I mean, Dana White is going off on him ahead of the UFC. By the way,
but it's easy for Dana White to complain. I mean, he never had to lace him up, you know. It's easy for Dana White to complain when he's never cut weight. He's never, you know, had to get in there in front of everybody.
Yeah, but he's also the head promoter.
He is.
Telling everyone in the world to buy this thing. And then when that happens, he's like, a lot of people are like, look, personally, I didn't mind the fight. I found it entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining, too.
And I didn't know what was going to happen at the end. And I've seen a lot of worse fights.
Yeah.
I think also people were coming off the Joanna fight, and then it's like following.
I mean, but this is a matchmaking thing, right? What? Joel's coming off a loss, right?
1-3.
Like, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, if he's the head promoter in charge of everything, why the fuck did he make that fight?
That's what he said. He actually apologized for making the fight.
Oh, okay. Well.
But
I don't accept.
All right, let's talk about Dan Mergliotta. Here's what I have a problem with, okay? You're the referee, okay? Your job is to ref the fight.
Yeah.
It's not to coach the fighters, okay? Because I'll tell you one thing. Well, a fight that I saw live was Lyoto Machida versus Ryan Bader. It was at the Staples Center. And everyone, it was one of those things where Machida was like the most frustrating fighter to fight because he would not do anything. He would huge counter striker.
I know.
Wait till you make a mistake.
He'll play smart, karate, step back and punch.
And Bader in the first round was not playing that game. He wasn't really attacking, and the whole crowd starts booing.
Yeah, I remember.
Then he takes the boos to heart. He shoots a dumb shot and gets knocked the fuck out, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting there with my dad. My dad's not really a fight fan, but he's a casual.
He's a filthy casual.
He's a casual. Like he's a cat. I mean, he'll be like, "How old's this guy? Who's he fighting? Jesus, he's one of those guys. I'm not paying either. I'm like, you know, every time he doesn't buy it, he says, "Oh, that was the best money I never spent." One of those guys, right? What? So
keep going with that. I feel like you should do your dad impression a lot more, bro. You kept cutting it off, but
dad's like. I remember watching a boxing match. It was Margarito versus Citron. That sounds like wine. So, you know, like, he's just one of those guys that, like, everything is, you know, according to him, Sugar Ray Robinson would have beat everyone's ass. Sugar Ray Robinson would have fucked these guys up. Like, everybody would have lost Sugar Ray Robinson in any sport possible, right?
All right.
So, my dad's watching this. Well, my dad's at the Bader fight, and he says to me, he's like, you know, if Bader hadn't listened to these fucking idiots, he would have won the fight. And I think Mergliotta was actually, I don't know if he had money or whatever, but by him telling Romero or both these guys to
let's
pick
hear
it up.
Let's hear what they said. Right. Let's hear what he said.
That this is his fourth UFC title fight.
You gotta give the judges something to score. If you're getting paid for a championship fight, let's see what you do. Let's go. Back it up.
All right. Well, how is that coaching?
You gotta give the judges something.
What do you want? Yeah, it's true.
These are the number one ranked guy in the world.
No, but they're not doing shit. Like, he was right.
You don't think this guy knows what he has to do?
No. Like, look, in the moment, these dudes were just, like, they weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. He was right. There's nothing. He was doing nothing to score. There was nothing to score.
These are the best guys. They know what to do.
Yeah, but they weren't doing it. So it's his job. Like, definitely. Have you never watched a fight before?
I have.
Like, have you never watched a boring one? Have you never watched a Muay Thai where they're like, fight? Like, they'll yell at you to fight. They'll fucking smack you in the back
and
push you together. Look, I think it's a good thing.
I mean, I
think
Joe Rogan had a big problem with what he said.
Well, I mean, look, I've been in there. So I realized that, if it's fucking, if both guys are doing nothing, I don't mind the referee.
You ever had a ref say that to you?
You gotta get action. Action.
You ever had a ref say that to
you? Yeah, I had a guy hold on to me and, like, listen, in Japan, they'll give you a motherfucking yellow card and a red card. They'll throw you out if you stall. You can't stall.
Were you stalling?
No, never. But, like, the guy will try to stall me, and the referees constantly in Asia, they yell at you, action! Action! Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm talking about if you, like, got a double leg and you're holding on the guy for a second, action! They're constantly encouraging you
to attack. I understand.
They don't want you to fucking hang out.
I get it.
And that was the stand-up equivalent of them hugging each other.
I don't know.
They were doing nothing.
They were doing nothing.
Look, yeah, sure. There was like some gamemanship and they were trying to figure out the distance and yada yada. But look, after round two, that's enough. That's enough. Mm. You got to work. Like, he's right. There's nothing to judge. The crowd was getting restless. And you don't understand. Being the third man in the ring is very difficult because you can feel the crowd. Fuck, like, you know when you're on stand-up and you can feel the crowd turn against you?
Yeah, it's every fucking show I have.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine that times, you know what I mean, 8,000. It's fucking every person in the room is getting angry.
Right.
And so he knows that. He realized the crowd, it's going to be a damn mutiny. You know,
I get it. I don't think that it's his job to say. I mean, maybe
whose job is it?
Action, pick it up. You got to give the judges something. I mean, you got to give the judges on the score. It seems a little specific. I'm not a fan. I'm not really.
What do you mean? That seems
just say
to me.
Action. I mean, just say action.
He didn't say, "All right, Romero, shoot a fucking takedown." Hey, Adesanya,
might as well.
I want some spinny shit right now.
He was talking to both of them equally because they both.
All right, fine. All right, maybe you're right. All right, you're right on this one.
No. I get what you're saying.
It was at the time. I was like, "Shut up! These guys are fucking working their ass off. Two best fighters in the world at that weight class.
Listen,
or two of the." Three, but yeah. But I understand what you're saying too. But I just felt like it was a little bit like he wanted to be like the guy in there. Like,
what do you mean?
Like he wanted to be the star.
I really believe. Nah, I don't think so at all. I really believe that it's the referee's responsibility to, if the fighters are not fighting, to make sure that they, you know, call action. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have the yellow card system. We don't have the red card system. So it's like one of those things where you got to make it happen. The referee's got to make it happen.
All right, you win this one. I understand what you're saying. I get it. And now
no one else is going to say anything.
I remember in wrestling matches, they say, all right, warning stalling.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than taking away a point. But I don't know. I just felt like they were doing a lot.
Yeah, because I don't know who. They couldn't take a point away from either guy.
Yeah.
Who would they take a point away from? Nobody. Like, both guys were working.
Right.
It's just neither a guy could figure out where to exactly get his shots in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was one of those weird fights where both guys are kind of, like, matched in this way that the opposite skill set would employ. It kind of starts, like, when you have two great wrestlers, they fucking cancel each other out, and then they get in a shitty kickboxing match. This is like the opposite.
No,
like,
part of me was rooting for a bad fight because I missed, because I left. And if like it's two amazing fights.
Oh, so again, it's your fucking fault.
It's my fault. Man. No, but I understand. Now, Dana White was pissed. Let's play the clip of Dana White. Now, Mayhem, do you think this was justified? I understand as the head promoter, but he did seem to kind of take it all out on Romero. And says that Izzy fights to the level of his opponent. I think it takes two to tango. I have it on the Izzy Romero on the notes, Twitter, Buka Laba. You see it?
Yeah, I think that I can understand why Romero got blamed, especially that first round, just standing there.
Yeah,
like that was just blatant.
Right, and he got upset about that. But now, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I didn't hear this, so let's go ahead.
It was a post-fight.
No, he got mad pre-fight.
Knew this was his last opportunity at a world championship. I thought he was going to come out like a bat out of hell, put tons of pressure on him, shoot takedowns, go for, you know, try to knock him out. He did literally none of that. So if you're Adesanya, he fought the smart fight. You stay on the outside. He chopped that leg apart, and he picked his punches and did what he did. Romero did a lot of moving around and acting like I'm trying to fight, but he never really did. Shocked that.
Yeah. Look, to me, like, I don't know why. Look, again, this is a Monday morning quarterbacking, but like, I don't think that was like a atypical performance from Romero. Was it? Like, that's kind of what he does. He, like, fights. He fights just enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of.
There's always something bizarre about his fights.
Yeah.
You know? This time, it was just how he acted. I think he prepared to fight in Izzy, the Izzy who fought Robert Whittaker. I think he expected them just to go in the center and just throw hammers. You know?
There is something always bizarre. Like, I remember one time he wouldn't get off a stool in between rounds.
Once. Like, he always does the
And weird. Then there was one
he
where.
I'm just surprised we didn't see any cheating in this one. Like, he never got to cheat.
Like, one where he had held the gloves, right? Was that him and Tim Kennedy? with him holding his glove. And then another one where he might have shit his pants. It seemed like his the back of his pants were a little bit. Then there was one where at the end he like said, be for Jesus, but not for gay Jesus.
Not for gay Jesus.
But it might have just been, don't forget Jesus. We don't know if he was saying people were for gay Jesus, because it was right after the whole gay marriage thing happened. And then there was one where he knocked out Rockhold and then tried to make out with him, it looked like. Like, Rockhold didn't know where he was. So it does seem like it's always something with, this guy. But at the same time, he's... You know what it is a lot of times also is that he does wait. He even with Weidman, he waited,
That's what I'm saying,
Weidman shot a takedown, and then he need him. It's like...
He was waiting for his spot, but it never came because Adesanya is such a high-level striker. You know, again, he was doing this weird game plan where he was planning on, I guess, knocking him out. Because he did, and maybe it's this, because like what I saw in that Whitaker fight where when they exchanged, Whitaker landed. Like, he didn't not land. He just landed less hard than Izzy. So I guess what happened...
Whitaker versus
Whitaker versus Izzy. Whitaker landed not as hard as Izzy landed, but he landed. So I guess in Romero's mind, he was going to touch his face, and he thought, "Oh, I got stronger punches than Whitaker.
Yeah.
I can knock this guy out for sure." And maybe that's where he had this, like, you know, this weird strategy where it didn't work out. Obviously, and with going back to what Dana said, you know, I'm not sure. I would be have been that surprised, you know, that that happened. But at the same time, I get it. He was trying to give the guy a shot, and he should have come out like a bat out of hell. That's what I was campaigning for. I was saying, this guy should come out and put all the pressure on Adesanya, you know, throw caution to the wind. You know, you're getting old. It's time to fucking make a championship run. And instead, he just did a championship shuffle. It was like not a run.
Now let's talk about Paulo Costa. He was
he's the real winner of the night, by the way.
He was with that shirt and those cheeks, man. This guy is like, he looked like he was on vacation.
It looked like Bruno Mars ate Bruno Mars, man. Like, it just I mean, so here we see Paulo Costa. I mean, a month ago, or it looks like a couple months ago, he was shredded. Just ripped Adonis. And now people calling him Thicky Martin and all kinds of stuff. And then there's also, he's wearing lipstick. It looks like
he's wearing lipstick. And look who's his friend, man. Oh, my God. What's that guy's
name? Nosferatu?
No, so, that dude behind him. Why don't I remember his name?
Yeah, that guy.
He's training with that guy.
That fool just stand up. He stood up just to be in camera.
No, for sure, because that was one. Look, man, trust and respect.
That is
even
hilarious.
Though I don't remember his name right now, it's like escaping me. It's Ishmael. Oh, my God. He's
Khalid Ishmael or something? Or?
Khalid Ishmael. That's him.
Yeah.
That guy is fucking.
Who is that guy?
Oh, you don't know who he is?
Talk to me.
Baliji? Bro, he's like one of the most infamous MMA fighters of our time. Well, of my kids, my children's time. He's way back in the day. He's one of the first dudes to really
your kid. You know, wouldn't it be your grandfather?
I don't know. Yeah, employ. He was one of the first guys to really employ like jiu-jitsu and lucha libre. Come out of Brazil. He was like the most like craziest shit talking. Broken English.
But he was good. He was awesome.
He was good. Was good for his time. He was one of the best.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's great to see that guy is training.
But I mean, do you think that he just is one of these guys that just when he's not training just gets totally out of shape?
No, I just think that he has that like puffy face where his body like his weight cut. I mean, obviously. On fight night, that dude is just a monster.
Yeah, it looks like
Hulk. Looks like a Hulk, exactly. Yeah. But, like, I think that guys at that weight class who look like that, when you have a shit ton of muscle like that, you know, you're carrying on a bunch of muscle, like, when you gain weight, like, you look pretty fat, too.
Did you ever gain weight like that in between camps?
Yeah, when I was, like, when I had put on a ton of muscle and then just ate whatever I felt like, I looked big.
Well,
like,
I remember you were doing Here Comes the Boom, and you told me that you got up to like 240.
Yeah, yeah.
250.
Yeah, yeah.
And
enormous.
You had to get down to 185.
Yeah, that's very difficult to do. Yeah.
How did you do that?
I mean, just starve and like you got to run at like 6 a.m. before you eat, and you just drink some coffee and go run. And then it's really difficult. Like, I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's possible. The human body is this crazy tool where you can do everything to it. You know, I've like reformed myself multiple times where you turn into a whole different being. And that guy is one of those guys that, yeah, he's swole up right now, you know, and on top of that, training camp's hard. What was his last fight? Was that one?
No, he beat Romero.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat Romero.
So what happened? So how come we got this fight? I know, you know.
He got injured.
That's why.
I don't know what the injury was.
So that's why.
And that's why you got the thing. And look, that guy's awesome. He seems very emotional.
Yeah,
there's a lot of emotions then, at the fight night.
And then what's name? And then what's name? Sabater called him a monkey after the fight. He goes, "Where's that monkey?" And then he was like, "Not even there." Like, yeah.
So he's a fan of Mayhem Miller. Is that
he's a Mayhem.
Wait, well, who said that?
Stylebender said, "Where's that monkey?" Right. And he was like out. I guess he was. He was gone. So it's like it was wild. And then right. So we'll talk about that. Then the Korean Zombie. You hear about that? So Brian Ortega, who came out of nowhere. He was the champion. He beat Frankie Edgar. Then he lost to Max Holloway. But he's a really high level jiu-jitsu, good striker. The guy in all those
Ortega
commercials.
Ortega, you're talking about, right? Yeah. We know who he is.
So he was
the Modelo guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, he was supposed to fight Korean Zombie, and then he got hurt. So Korean Zombie went on Ariel Helwani's show with his interpreter, who was also a Korean rapper, a Korean pop star. So what happened, allegedly, they were talking smack about Ortega. So at the fight, Ortega waited for Korean Zombie to go to the bathroom and then slapped the pop star, which I guess he gave him a pop. And then he said, "Welcome to MMA," right? So now it's this big thing because the Zombie got really upset and the pop star said, "I'm 140 pounds. Well, plus, I was his interpreter. It's actually, the Underground had a really funny thread about it because it was like, does he get mad at closed captioning too? Like, it wasn't even him that said it. How do you know that? And then someone said, "Actually, I don't believe it because Ortega doesn't fight in the streets anymore. It's thanks to the Modelo commercial because they were like Brian." So it was this whole thing, but I don't know. I mean,
bro, that's really confusing.
I feel like there's some Korean zombie fan.
Yeah, me too. Maybe there's some racial overtones. He didn't know which guy went to the bathroom. I don't. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he was just like trying to avoid the coronavirus. I don't know.
No,
a lot of racism, overtones.
In your last statement, does the racism.
No,
come
no,
on.
I'm just saying.
He was trying to avoid the coronavirus and he slapped the fucking pop star?
Listen, bro.
Come on,
keep
man.
Keep that virus away from me.
That's not what happened. First of all, Ortega, I don't know him, but one time I was going to a fight and I see Brian Ortega.
I like how you don't know him, but you got to start.
Okay,
about
I
got
to start about him.
Go ahead.
So I'm walking to the arena by myself and I see Brian Ortega and I'm like, "Oh, whoa, this Brian Ortega." And then I look and then I almost bump into somebody, right? Like, and then the guy like kind of snuffed me, like, "Move out of the way." And then it was Ortega's fan. They both laughed. And I felt like a loser. Like, like I was that guy.
Bro, you're just bumbling around UFC events.
Yeah, like
getting spit on and disrespected.
I felt like I was in high school again. Man. Like I got pantsed in front of the whole school. It was.
So Ortega just thinks you're a total
nerd. Look at that fucking nerd. And they laughed. Like they high fived.
You're lucky
like,
you didn't get slapped. Maybe if you were Korean.
Yeah, my girlfriend left me. Yeah. It was awful, right? So I'm not an Ortega fan because of that. All right, so
you're the fucking Napoleon Dynamite of the UFC.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of him.
You're not a fan?
No,
you hope he loses to Korean Zombie?
Yeah, I'm on the K-pop star.
Yeah, you know what? I did. I saw that interview with the guy.
Yeah.
And he looked shaken up about the whole deal. I don't know. I want to get Brian Ortega's statement on this. I guess we're going to have to wait.
Well, Ortega said he says there's like three different pop stars. There's the pop star, there's the translator, and there's like the bitch.
So he's just slapping around BTS. Yes, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Like, I don't know. I mean, but if a guy talks shit about you are you allowed to go slap him?
I mean, if he's translating the shit that's being talked, do you slap the translator and the translator goes and slaps the guy? Is that what's supposed to happen? Was he translating the physical violence into Korean before he slapped him? Does Samsung have a slap app?
Could he just say slap and have the guy fucking translate that? It was all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah, that's a bizarre story.
Yeah.
I don't really look at Ortega as that type of dude that like You know what I mean? Like, I really, maybe it's the Modelo propaganda that really has got me thinking he's a really nice guy.
I heard he's a nice guy. According to Freddie Prinze Jr.
I know, but how nice.
Before the show starts, he has a podcast where he said he's a right nice guy. But first of all, I thought he slapped Psy, the Gangnam Style guy. When he heard he slapped a Korean pop star, I thought it was like the Gangnam Style, which would have been awesome, but it wasn't. It was another guy. The guy's name's like Jay Tan or something, or I don't know.
Jay Tan.
What's his name? JT, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know, bud. This is your story.
This is what happened. This is like,
I know. I think it's super interesting. You're right. Like, that's a weird one. Wait, where were they together?
Will you bring up the clip on, like, TMZ? Because they have the aftermath. Someone recorded aftermath. Oh, here we go. Oh, you already got it. Look. Nice work.
Did we see the slap?
No. Oh. You don't see the slap. You just see
how can she slap?
So, aren't you offended by all the Asians? This might have been a brother or something.
No, I love racism.
Oh. See, that's Ortega after he slapped a guy.
Oh, he already slapped some.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. And then there's the Asian guy being held back. He's very upset.
And who does this bearded clam?
Isn't that Dan Bazzari? I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not him. So, yeah, that's...
But, all right, I get it now. All right, so I didn't realize it was at the event. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's what, I'll tell you what happens, is that is everybody has a couple of Modelos, right? First of all, right, gotta be have a sponsor beer in your hand, right? Mm-hmm. Then the music, the hype, everybody gets hyped up, you know, during the fight. And tensions get high, and then one Korean looks like another.
No, it was not. He knew the zombie left.
Oh, okay.
He knew the zombie left.
So that's kind of a...
Did you ever get into a fight at an event like this?
Nah.
Never got into a fight?
On TV, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Never in the stands?
Nah, never in the stands.
Anybody ever come up to you and like, try to fight you from something?
Nah. Never in the... I don't have an interesting anecdote about that. I'm sorry. But like, I know you always expect me to have a solid story.
No, I heard a story about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you hear?
Yeah, but all your stories are like one little morsel of truth surrounded by a kingdom of lies. Okay. Or at least
like
embellishment.
CNN.
Yeah, exactly. this guy is the fake news.
All right, so here's what I heard happen, right? I heard that you were at a bar... With the Diaz brothers, right?
Yeah.
And this is after like the beef was squashed.
Yeah.
Right? And you went up and you were like trying to impress Nick Diaz.
I was trying to impress.
Like you were like, hey, okay.
Now exactly. You're full of shit as usual.
So you go out to him, right? And you were like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? And then you kept doing shots. You're like, ah ha ha. And then you did like 30
that
shots.
That doesn't sound like me.
30 shots.
Wow.
30. And then you fell on your face.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is any of that true?
No.
That's what I heard over there.
No.
How would he know if it's true if he did 30 shots?
I know.
How would anybody know anything?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. I fucking wrestled. Yeah. I threw this guy. All right, we're at the fucking Saddle Ranch.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Now you're right. Okay, I remember now.
Never mind.
Shit. The 30 shots might have affected my memory about
this. All right, what happened?
There was I was wilding out, and I was... Yeah.
Someone
and
said Diaz was there.
I jumped over the fucking CJ Saddle Ranch.
Yeah.
I jumped over that fucking thing, the bull,
yeah.
the wild bull, and like slammed my head into the post, flying off the top rope, off the fucking bull, and slammed my head into the post. Yeah, that's an accurate, you know what? Fuck. You're right. It was similar. I wasn't trying to impress nobody. Oh. I was just fucking on fire, bro. Yeah,
I heard you were trying to make peace with the Diaz brothers at that time.
I feel like I did.
That's your peace offering.
Yeah, that was my peace offering. Yeah. I feel like I did. Yeah.
Lazy told me this.
Yeah.
Lazy said he was there.
Yeah. I remember that. Wilding out. Yeah, bro. The purple mohawk phase of Mayhem's life was very blurry. So I don't even know if that story was accurate the way I told it. And I definitely know it was not accurate the way you told it. So I'm glad I moved on from that phase because every day was a blur. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. Well, like when Nick Diaz is like, this guy's got to get his shit together. That's when it might be time.
I feel like I've like tightened mine up and he's let his loose now.
Yeah, well, he's
probably, I hope he's all right.
I heard he's doing all right, but I'm just like, man, I don't know. Those guys are so talented. And there's so much money on the table for those guys. Mm. Like, if the Diaz brothers fight, everyone's going to tune in.
It's true.
And at a certain point in their life, that won't be the case. So why...
It's kind of coming, right? I mean, like you can't do this forever.
So why not take advantage of it now? You know, like, because now people will still see Nate Diaz, they're fighting, we're going to watch. You know, so like, they don't, but they, you're right, in 5 years, 10 years, 3 years, people might not want to... So now you got to strike when the iron's hot. Let's talk about Benny versus Dracar. Beneil Dariush.
Amazing.
Called it.
Amazing.
But yeah, that was pretty amazing, yeah.
Now, in that first round, right, when he had the rear naked choke in and he was like on his back, yeah. A backpack, what should he...
So, hey, how ironic was it? Didn't I mention that I used to let Benny get on my back like that?
Yeah.
And choke me? And, like, then that was, like, the first round of his fight. It's so weird. I didn't even realize to the end of the round. I was like, wait a minute. I talked about that on the show, how I let him do that to me. But, yeah, that was great. Like, I know. I was afraid he was going to burn his arms out with that.
Or and his legs, looked right,
like
too?
Both, yeah. It looked like he did a little bit because in the first minute or two of that second round, he, like, kind of was slow. Like, I was like, uh-oh. You know, and I was afraid of Dracar.
Yeah.
Dracar knew what he's named after, a shitty cologne. So I just want to point that out to everybody.
He's a good guy. God.
Yeah.
He's a really, both really good guys. I mean, both really nice people.
But man, he put him on damn banana land, didn't he? He like hit him with that, what was it, left hand, huh? Straight but, left? I can't even remember because the way his mouthpiece got popped out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just looked like a. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Pop. I was like, that was.
And his eyes were just wonky. I feel like the kid could have made a recovery, but he just didn't.
Well, yeah, I felt bad.
It was also one of those things. Well, first of all, Benny is such a nice guy because he had him hurt. And almost like he felt bad.
Not that he felt bad. Like, he's just a professional.
But
you
he walked away. He saw the guy on the ground and said, okay, it's over. But Benny's one of these guys, like, I'm like, hey, what'd you do last weekend? He's like, oh, I went to a third world country and fed homeless kids.
Really?
Like,
awesome.
Like, or like, I built churches with my missionary group. Like, he's one of these people that, and he never talks about it. Like, it's not like one of these guys that does charity, but
yeah, because
like,
more effective when you talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't know what I'm talking about either. But not one of these guys that like they do charity, but they make sure that there's like 19 publicists around them to picture. And then he's one of these guys that like, I'm like, in his free time, he's going and building schools for kids.
Yeah.
That's Beneil Dariush. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's and Dracar is a great fighter. What do you think Dracar should have done differently? Can we play that last
What, the knockout?
Yeah.
You should have not got knocked out? Is that what you're going to ask
me
right
obviously
now?
The
Well, how does he not walk into this?
Yeah, obviously the thing is take your time, keep your hands up, right?
All the like classics.
When you got a guy hurt.
Keep a jab out there.
They say a wounded animal is most dangerous. That's what they say, which.
But I don't really think that Benny was hurt.
No.
No.
You don't think Benny was hurt?
Nah.
I mean,
like a little bit, but like.
The guy said, Benny's hurt. That's exactly what he said. So right here. All right. So he has him. It looked like, well, that's when he gets knocked out.
Yeah, he was already rocked right
there. And he wasn't dangling his mouth guard. His mouth guard came out with the punch.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't say dangle.
No,
I said
other people
just
said he was dangling
it out.
But before this punch happens, right?
What, like earlier in the round, you mean?
Yeah, earlier in the round.
But he had shaken that off. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he was like, I don't think he was injured.
It's a little later than this. Okay, so you don't think he was really...
No, I think you're right. He got tagged, but like at the same time, he had already shaken it off and had got his bearings back. And like that's why he stepped back. Like I was surprised to see Benny step back because
he gets tagged here, he gets tagged there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He
see how he stepped back and took a breath because the accumulation of punches is really what like does a knockout damage. What happened was he got tagged with like one hard one and then he had a break and then he had another hard one. It's like more difficult. And then he started pouring it on right there.
Yeah.
That's how I expected the fight to go the whole time. What surprised me was Dracar actually landed the punches and like made a difference, you know, in that second round. I really thought maybe that he would get out grappled.
Yeah.
Like that was how it was going to go down.
In
the first round, he did, but then as it became a stand up battle, you could tell who was the bigger guy and who was the harder punching guy.
It was crazy though, because I thought that Dracar would be better on the feet than Benny.
Well, I mean, he kind of was, but look how much bigger that Benny was it going into the fight. It's just a physically bigger human being. And I mentioned that last week, how that he's going to be bigger. Like, he's going to be – he's just – he cuts down from a heavier weight. And it's, you know, on fight night, he's going to be larger human being. And that's a big advantage in this weight class.
Now, I almost went to Dracar's after party because he posted, whether I win or lose, I still have an after party. I've been to after parties when the guy loses. The only one that was ever fun was when Chad Mendez lost because he got to Connor because he got $500,000 plus whatever he got. So he, and he took the fight on like a week notice.
Nice.
So he was like, all right. And he won the fight till he lost. But man, it sucks going to a guy when they get like screwed up. You ever do an after party when the guy just gets obliterated? Or do you ever have an after party?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I had a fucking blast. Are
really?
You kidding me? Hell yeah.
Even after you lost?
Yeah. When I lost to St. Pierre, man, we had a goddamn great time. It didn't matter.
Where was it?
It didn't matter. At the Luxor. It was fucking awesome. I like might as well have scaled that pyramid and put my dick on the light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People weren't coming up to you and being like, hey, man,
nah.
Like, get him next time or keep your head up or
nah.
That didn't affect you?
Nah.
Really?
No.
Because if I had a show and I bombed horrifically, and then there was an after party, I would not be happy.
Listen, I didn't say I was happy the whole time, but yeah, you know, you got to shake it off. That's part of the healing process. You know, you got to grieve your loss, right? After the fight. If you lose, you grieve your loss.
But this is 2 hours then, later, though. I mean, it's a pretty short grieving process.
I know, but no, you're still grieving, but you shake it off. And enjoy it for your fans that walked that came out with you. You can't ignore them. They came out, they supported you, and sure, is it a shitty party? Definitely. Is it as good as winning? Definitely not. But
I went to some Ellenberger's
party. You have to do something.
It was sad. Ellenberger's after parties, where he lost.
Yeah.
It was like me and like six dudes from like Omaha. Like I love Jake, but it was at like a Wiener Schnitzel or something. It was just, it was rough. It was rough.
I hear you.
I mean, it was rough.
Of course, it's always a bummer, you know. But you got to shake it off, and you got to. You know, you got to show support for the people that support you.
Of course. Yeah, that's I know, but it's rough because you make a deal with the club beforehand.
Yeah.
Whether you win or lose.
Yeah.
So you have to go.
And then the Omaha six show up, and nobody else. Yeah, you know, that'll show who loves you.
The best one was Team Alpha Male's parties though, because like all of a sudden, like you're like, man, this party's empty. You look
down.
Chuck
E. Cheese.
And there's like 50 people, and everyone's dancing, and like that was when I first saw Paige VanZant, and I didn't believe the hype until I saw her in person, and I was like, this is a very attractive woman right here. Very sexy. What are you looking a bit down for? You
know, no, I'm just like, I just feel like you just sexualize every fighter that we have on the show or talk
to. And you don't?
Well.
What are you talking about? Give me a break. First of all, I get shit on YouTube comments. Stop. Some guys, I'm asking you nicely. Stop asking Mayhem about jail. I'm like, okay, all right. All right. Stop asking about Asian girls. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Stop.
All right. So I'm like, dude, we're going to have no fucking topics.
We're out of topics now.
I'm like, hey, welcome to the show. All right. See you later. Like, what up, people? March has arrived. We are only weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament.
Make sure to head to BetOnline and open an account today and get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting March 15th.
That's right. He said $100,000 and March 15th. You don't need to be hardcore to get on the action. And with multiple entries available, it's the season's best chance to cash in.
Now remember, the NBA, XFL are still going strong. So whatever your passion is, BetOnline is the place to be for all your betting needs.
Visit our good friends and exclusive partners, BetOnline. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Make sure to use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% sign-up bonus.
BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Boom. All right, so let's talk to a guy, Max Rochfeld. Is he on? This guy right here. This is, you know, one thing I love about having this podcast. Obviously, you like getting the guys who everyone knows, the Colby Covingtons. But I like getting Colby Covington when they're just first starting out, or when not, you know, no one else is really giving them the attention that they deserve. Mm-hmm. Because then I can always go back after they're famous and be like, hey, fucker, don't fucking big time me. as well, the old Jewish guilt. But this dude, Max Rochfeld, he's 5-0, four submissions in the first round. One went to the second round. This dude's the truth. All college, all American. I mean, college four-time qualify for nationals, which people don't understand how big of a deal that is. Obviously, you want to become an All-American and, you know, place or win the nationals. But just being – not everyone gets to go to the nationals in college wrestling. It's not one of those things where you're on the team, you get to go to the nationals. You have to have, like, a real – a winning record, and it has to – you have to win, like, I think 75% of your matches or 80%. It's some kind of high number. So just getting invited is a big deal. Obviously, you want a place, but it's not like anybody could just come to nationals. That's like a myth. People think, oh, well, you, it's kind of like being – it's the same with basketball, like winning, being in the top, whatever, winning the final. But it's even harder because it's – anyway. It's one
great
person,
metaphor.
It's one person. And is Max on? Okay.
He's not on yet.
So, all right. In the meantime, before we get Max, let's talk about Neil Magny.
Yep, that's part of my parlay. Everybody made fun of me for picking Neil Magny, and then he goes in there and outclasses the dude for three rounds.
Yeah,
call me crazy.
Yeah, that well because he hadn't looked his last fight against Ponzinibbio, he got shellacked.
Yeah.
But then again, when they listed the people he beat, which is the Johnny Hendricks, the Hector Lombard, you're like, okay,
100%.
A lot of times people do base how they think they're going to do on the guy's last fight. Not on their whole career.
Yeah, and, obviously. It's a human, you know, it's a human fallacy, yeah.
You're only as good as your last fight.
Exactly,
you're only as good as your last show. That's the thing about comedy, that like versus fighting, it's like I have a bad show. I've had obviously bad shows. If you're not a good comic, you obviously have bad shows, you bombed. It's just but I can have another show an hour later or 2 hours later or tomorrow or the next. Whereas you have a bad fight, sometimes you have to wait 6 months, a year. A year and a half, and I'm sure you could probably kill it in practice, but no one sees it.
Yeah.
How hard was that hard for you to wait?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, it's like the worst thing ever if you have a bad fight and then everyone's shit talking you the whole time to not be able to just come jump right back in there and get it done again. And we live in this crazy ass world of social media where nonstop. You know, it's like 24-hour news cycle nonstop. Mm. So, the amount of negative press that you get after losing a fight is just, you know, it's going to be all day, all night. Twitter comments, Facebook,
memes
Snapchat,
are gonna be made out of you
Instagram.
As you're knocked out on the floor. Like Aljamain Sterling when he got knocked out by Marlon Rice. He did the dab.
Yeah.
When he was knocked out. And then that got posted everywhere on social media. So now you got to deal with that.
Well, then he posted it too, though. That was the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the best way to deal with it is to go with it and not, you know, go hide and cry.
So he says he's on him right now. But I'm not getting a picture.
We don't have video.
What do you mean we don't have video?
His camera isn't on.
He goes, this is what, sorry, turn your camera on. All right.
You can just do voice, right?
No.
Sorry.
Ween dog. But all right, so while we wait for him, how's it going with the sex life? Have you told your girlfriend you're gay?
Oh, first of all,
did you tell her about that gay dream that you had?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
No, I mean, I just want to
attacked right now.
No. Like I said, we're LGBT, elemental P, inclusive show now.
Yeah, we're gender liquid.
Gender liquid.
I am a gender liquid. Not gender liquid, gender fluid. God damn it. That's very derogatory to say liquid.
I mean,
fluid.
I just feel
what,
like...
To water?
Well, you know, because the actual term is gender fluid.
All right.
You know, when you say
bro,
liquid, it's like you're
keep your gender fluids off the show, okay?
Hey, man.
Just tell us about... What did your girl say about
Camilla
that gay
said
dream?
Back in the day, gender fluid meant sperm. That was actually kind of a good joke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So do you tell your girlfriend about your gay dream?
No, I don't gotta, you know, bring that to her. I keep that.
You're keeping
private.
That.
I keep that.
So you're
private.
Basically keeping it in the closet with your girl that you had like a.
Well, I just don't want to scare her. I might tell her like you know while we're making love because when you're making love, you can just say anything, right?
Wait, that's the time you're gonna tell her?
Yeah, because you're just filled with so much emotions and hormones. I might just say, yo, by the way, I'm gender fluid. You know, maybe she'll say, oh, I am too.
What during sex you're gonna tell her?
Well, yeah.
That's probably
well,
the worst.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure she knows that every time she busts a strap on out.
Do you think about her when you're sleeping with her? Or
yeah, of course. I mean, when you're making love, that's the time to say anything you want. You can
no,
say
it's
the
not.
Can you stop saying making love? Wait, it just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Wait, the N-word you
as
say?
Long as, it's, as long as it's defined as a fetish, it's okay to do it.
No, like it's not. Wait, you say the N-word while you're making love?
If I say, yo, baby, if you have a fetish where you want me to say the N-word, I'll say the N-word if it gets your rocks off. Or vice versa. If she wants me to...
Has that ever happened?
No, But I mean, I'm open to it.
You're open to it. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I'm fluid to it.
All right, is this camera on? He says it's on. Can you?
Oh, this is awesome. Let's just keep talking about gender fluidity.
All right, so this is what I see. Turn your camera on. It's on. Will you hold on? Will you give him the phone and see if he could communicate? All right, back to fighting. So Sean O'Malley. Look, Sean O'Malley's awesome. I love O'Malley. It seemed like that guy wanted out of there quickly.
Yeah. He gave him that.
Oh, here we go. Max.
Here we go.
All right. So we're talking to the man. I can't hear him. Can we hear him? Max, can you hear me?
I love the amount of...
Oh, here we go.
There we go. Yes.
All right. So we're talking to a guy, Max Rochhold, who's 5-0, four submissions in the first round, and some pretty amazing submissions, by the way. Holy shit. You're kicking some ass. How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good. Just hanging out at home right now. Train this morning and then just chilling until I go back and teach kids and then train again later.
That's all. You're here with Mayhem Miller, by the way. You know who Mayhem Miller is?
I know who he is. Never met him before, though.
God bless him.
Yes. Now you're from North Carolina, right?
I'm from Ohio, and then I wrestled at NC State. So after I grew up in Ohio wrestling, I wrestled in college for North Carolina State.
Nice, nice, nice. Now, Mayhem, you're from North Carolina, right?
Yep, North Carolina, raise up. Yeah, I used to go to those wrestling camps all the time when I was a kid, like in NC State. So we've got like near Raleigh, like South. I lived in Fayetteville, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
They call it Vietnam, right?
Yeah, Vietnam, the hood, baby.
Yeah.
I lived in a real. I heard it's like nice now, so I'm like kind of mind blown that like my ghetto ass town turned into like. I don't know, a thriving suburbia. So I don't know. You lived in Raleigh, right? While you were training there.
Yeah, it's like a 20-30 minute drive from Fayetteville, and that whole area is like amazing. It's super nice, very a little rich and uppity, and uppity for my liking, but it's super nice there.
Now, I think, Van, I watched a bunch of your fights. I think you're the next big thing in MMA. I know we became friends on, like, Instagram, and you came to my show, and you were the most unassuming, humble guy. Like, I was like, this guy's probably, like, an amateur fighter. It didn't seem like he had that much confidence, blah, blah, blah. Then I look at your fights, and I'm like, wow. Do you think you're the next big thing?
Yeah, I do, and that just comes from all the, like, training I've been putting in with like guys that are top 10, top 5 in the UFC. Like, I know where I stand skill wise. For me, it's just a matter of time getting to show it in front of millions of people, really.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about who you're training with and how your training camps go and what skills you're working on to improve yourself.
So I actually just made kind of like the, when I say a move, but I'm over at Drysdale Jiu-Jitsu with Zenith MMA full time now. Me and Drysdale kind of started our own little team. I got a good group of up and comers that are my size, that are like former wrestlers, former Jiu-Jitsu guys that are really good. And then we got Dewey Cooper.
Wow.
So I'm striking with a lot of his guys. And then when I first moved to Vegas, actually, though, so I was actually thinking about going and training some other places. And then my coach, I don't know if you guys know him, when I was in North Carolina, Sean Spangler, actually kind of talked me into moving to Vegas, because he lived in Vegas for 20 years, got his black belt under Rob. And then I came out here and I met Robert Follis. And Robert Follis is the one that talked me into moving to Vegas, because I was going to go to ATT in Florida, maybe AKA, maybe Alliance in San Diego. And after I met Follis, he kind of convinced me that Vegas was the place I needed to be, right?
Well, damn. So, you just casually dropped the names like a bunch of jiu-jitsu royalty, you know, with Dewey Cooper, with your kickboxing. Are you moving, like, because obviously with all these submissions you got and your wrestling background, you obviously have like a tremendous grappling ability. Are you more interested now in like, improving your kickboxing game, or like what direction you're moving with your training?
Yeah, so I do still focus on, like, for me, my training's around being the best guys in the world at 155. And for me, that means I have to be able to out grapple these guys. A lot of these guys, Tony and Khabib, good examples. Like, I'm training to beat those guys right now. I'm not really like looking at a whole bunch of other people because those are the best guys in the weight right now. So I think it'd be stupid to not prepare for the best guys in the world.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. But my people don't know, but I've been boxing. I haven't had a boxing fight, but I've been training boxing since I was 18.
Nice.
And then I've sparred with some of the best guys in the world fighting for like WBO titles and stuff like that. And I can box. Kickboxing is still a little bit new to me. And but it's striking's not like grappling. Like I think grappling, it takes a lifetime to be high level, right? It takes 10, mm-hmm. 12, 15 years to be a high level grappler. Striking, you kind of get away with some stuff if you're strong, fast, athletic, and then once you implement a bunch of strategies. I think there's a big gap in MMA right now with like guys do their camps and they scout their guys or whatever, and they're like, oh, this combo will work, this 5, 6, 7 punch combo will work against this guy, and they do it on the pads without moving their feet.
Yeah,
nice. As hard as they can. And I focus a lot more on distance management, 1, 2 punches, setting stuff up, a lot of probing, a lot of feints, and then using that with like the feints with the wrestling.
Yeah.
And luckily I haven't had to show that too much yet. A lot of the stuff I'm very, very good at, no one has seen in my fights yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing for me.
Well, your first fight ever, which can we show your first fight? Like your first fight ever, it's 58 seconds in, your first punch you landed sent the guy flying. I was like, I mean, that's got to give you some confidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like when I spar, I do have like hard sparring days, not often. You guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Okay. Yeah. So like when I spar, even with guys who are trying to take my head off, I touch. I'm thinking like I need to be able to.
What does he mean by that, man?
Fight first in my mind, because I know I have the athleticism. I have the power just from hand fighting and wrestling for so long. The power in my hands is there. And so the more punches I can land, and I don't let, like when I'm sparring, someone's trying to take my head off and I'm just like, pop, pop, move, pop, pop, move. And I'm trying to set everything up. Like, and I try to move guys to where like they think they're moving where they want to go, but I'm actually taking them to where I want them to go. Right. I think it's a lot more.
What do you mean by like I touch? What do you mean by that?
Like he means he's in the pocket and he gets his strikes too while the guy's trying to take his head off. Now you like just explained I'm, it.
So when you punch, right, people don't. A lot of MFAs don't even understand like how to punch correctly. It's snappy. It's not. It's like a whip. And so when you can whip it with power, you can whip it with no power. I'm just touching because I don't really need like. I know I have power. I don't need to prove that in training every day.
So can we show his first fight right now? What? It says first fight, 58 seconds into a huge punch. Can we show that? I'm sure that our fans would like to see this. Yeah, man, I was super impressed by that. We're gonna show it right now, right?
Well, while we're pulling that up, you mentioned Khabib versus Tony. Well, how do you see, because, you know, you're a great wrestler, you're a great grappler. How do you see this? Because obviously grappling is going to be a component of that fight.
Yeah.
How do you see the guys' styles matching up, and how do you see that fight going?
So, it's hard to imagine any way Khabib losing, right, just the way he dominates guys. But I think he dominates guys that are predominantly strikers, or he's just a little bit, you only need to be a little bit of a better top wrestler against a guy like I Quinta or Barboza or Connor, and you stay on top of them, you can dominate them. And after you do that for a little bit, like it wears on them, they get tired, now their striking's not as effective, now their takedown defense isn't as effective, and he's so relentless, right? So I think he's made a career off of being a better wrestler and a better top pressure guy and really slick with his takedowns. People don't realize how slick he is. Like he gets easy takedowns, especially off the wall, mainly off the wall. But then I think if anyone right now in the division is going to beat him, it's going to be a guy like Tony that, like, if Khabib's on top and he doesn't put his head in the right spot, he's going to get hurt with elbows. He might have to let him up. Like, he's not going to be able to stay on top in some of the positions we've normally seen Khabib in, because Tony will cut you up from bottom, he can wrestle too. People don't realize he's a very good wrestler. He has a very weird body type. I heard his hands are like huge. That matters when it comes to like wrist control on bottom and top. And I think he's a dog too. Like, I think if anyone's going to beat Khabib right now, it would be Tony. I'm rooting for Tony, man.
Could we bring that up or no?
We got that fight up. Having little technical difficulties in the spot.
So, all right. Now, learning about you also, I didn't, you know, it's funny because when I read, obviously you have a lot of problems growing up. And I think that helped you with your fighting ability. I know with me, my mother left when I was 3 and I had a stepmom I didn't get along with, and wrestling was like my outlet. Like, I sent to a boarding school for troubled kids. I hated it there at first. And you, oh my God. So tell me a little about your childhood.
Yeah. So I'll start off with a bang where it all started. So I was 5 years old, and so my dad is an alcoholic, and he would get very angry. Like, he's one of those alcoholics when he gets angry, he rages, right? And there was a day, I'm 5, and both my younger brothers were like 2 and 3. And he starts like screaming at my mom and like yelling at stuff. He sends us upstairs, and then he like has my mom downstairs. He's like beating her up and holding her at gunpoint. And then like I come downstairs, I'm like 5 years old, like to see like what's happening, because I just hear shit going on. And he like would like point the gun at me and like tell me to go back upstairs, right? And so I'm 5. I jump out of our 2-story house, out of the house, and run to get help. One of my parents' friend saw me running on the side of the road, picked me up. I told them what happened. They went and got the police, and then everything was kind of diffused from there. But, and then that was when my parents got a divorce, and that's when my mom moved out. And we lived with my grandparents for a little bit, and then I ended up moving into a trailer like a mile from my dad's house in the middle of a cornfield. And then kind of grew up, I don't know how, but like my dad got like visitation, like I had to go to his house all the time and shit. And like growing up, I didn't know any better. Like, the only things I'd ever seen was like violence like that, right? And so like when I was at school, like when I was a 3rd grader, I hit our principal. Like, my brother was getting in trouble. I stood up on the desk and like Superman punched our principal. I was like, if I wanted to leave school, I would just be like, all right, peace, I'm out, fuck you. I would like cuss out the teachers and shit. I was as bad as you possibly could have been as a kid. I think if I would have been like in a city school, they would have sent me to like juvie or something. But because it was a super small town, it's kind of behind. It's like kind of like.
Did you land the Superman punch on the principal? Did you knock him down?
Nah, no.
Did the judges score it for him? Was it Texas judges?
Wow, you were 50 pounds, yeah. Landed a Superman punch on your principal. Oh my God.
Yeah, but then I grew up, and then until I was like 12 or 13, I basically got in a fight in the principal's office, started wrestling because I got in trouble, and then the rest is just like constant improvement since then.
When did you start wrestling? What grade did you start wrestling?
7th grade.
And you were an Ohio State champion, right?
I was 3rd twice, 7th once. I actually wrestled the state tournament my senior year with a completely broken hand and ended up getting 3rd. And that was like, I remember at the time, that was like a state title was like what my life meant, right? And I didn't win it. And that was like the worst thing that possibly could have happened to me. And looking back, it's like, that wasn't shit. Well, and a lot of the guys that beat me when I was in high school, I ended up having a better career in college or beating them in college.
Yeah, I looked at your record in college, and you won 75% of your matches. I think you were like 25-10 as a junior, and then as a senior, yeah, you were like 4-2. What, you got hurt?
Oh no! So I was I had a losing record as a freshman. Sophomore year, I was like 20-10 or something. I can't even remember. It was like 20-10, some shit like that. And then my junior year, I was 16-2, wow. 16-1 in my weight class going into nationals. I was the 5th seed, and then I didn't place at nationals. People were picking me to be in the finals against Alex Derringer. I had some really, really good wins, and then I just didn't put together the national tournament. And then my freshman year, though, I tore my labrum.
Senior year, you mean?
My freshman year, I tore my labrum.
Oh, wow.
And I was wrestling that whole time with a completely torn labrum. Like, my shoulder would dislocate on the regular, And then after I didn't place at Nationals, I was like, I was kind of blaming it on my shoulder a little bit. And like, I was just like, man, like I couldn't train the way I wanted to. I couldn't shoot on people because like if I got underneath of them, my shoulder would dislocate. So I developed a very like counter wrestling. I always pick top. Like that's super. I was the guy picking top, and I won all my matches like that. going into my senior year, I wanted the red shirt. Long story short, they didn't want me to redshirt. And then I ended up trying to wrestle a couple matches. And I wrestled at the All-Star match. I pinned the All-American from Michigan, Brian Murphy, in the All-Star match. And then I cut this 57. And I just, with my shoulder being still a little injured and knew I was going to fight, after a couple matches, I decided I was going to drop out of school and start fighting.
Your coach must have been thrilled.
They were... it was weird, man, because like at one point he told me, Pat Papalizzo told me, he was like, if I had like 10 of you, I'd be happy, right? But then all at like outside of the wrestling room, outside of like all that stuff, he was always pissed at me because like I wasn't there to get a degree and then hand a piece of paper to someone making millions of dollars to give me a 40K a year job. Like, I'm not gonna, like, that's just not who I am. I didn't want a degree, I was there to wrestle,
right?
And I was very honest about that, and that's not like necessarily the best thing to say when you're at a big Division I school, but that was the truth. And so then there was like some arguments when it came to that side of it. But it's funny because they, a lot of my friends, a lot of my family, all my coaches, a lot of my teammates were like, "No, you have to stay and finish, or else you're not going to be able to break into the MMA scene. You have to be an All-American first. You have to try to win a national title first." And I'm just like, all right, bet. You guys tell me I can't do something, I'm going to go do it right now. And now I'm, and then a couple years later, they see me doing good months ago, and they're like, oh, I think you made the right decision.
Well, hey, man, I dropped out of college with 1 year left because I wanted nothing to fall back on. So I can totally respect and relate to you. Can we at least show his fights now? All right, so we want to show somebody some of your highlights because I'm telling you, man, so this is his first fight ever, Mayhem. You're fighting guy Paulo Silva right here. He's a guy with the right here. No, this is your last fight against. This is your last fight at Titan FC. This guy is 6-5, black belt, and you know, man, what is he doing right? What is he doing wrong?
What do you mean? I think we've seen this clip already on the show. We played it last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the only time I was really in danger here is when I was using that sidekick as like an offensive attack. And I missed it, and then he jammed me, and he was able to get off some shots. They rolled off my shoulder and hit my chest. But those are, like, chances. Like, looking back on that fight, I don't want to be in those positions. I need to stick with the inside leg kick and manage the distance and not get jammed on the side kick. Because when you do the side kick, if you miss, you go too forward.
Yeah, well, I can see exactly what you were talking about earlier with the using your distance. There's a lot of jabs there. And this side kick, I can see why you use that. And you have a tremendous front headlock. Anytime you can get a guy's head down, I feel like you're going to dominate the position. There's not going to be much wrestlers that you're going to run into over there at Titan FC that are going to be able to hang with that front headlock, you know?
Listen, so, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no Division I wrestler that's going to stop me from being able to sub them.
Yeah. I'll believe that statement. Yeah. You know?
Now your hands are low. Are you worried about getting caught with your hands low?
Not so. As soon as I do that, but there's a reason for it. And after I found this guy's timing, because as soon as he came, like, it was super easy because he wasn't throwing any probes, no feints, no setups. He was just throwing as hard as he possibly could. And I see that coming. Like, as soon as he gets ready to throw, I know he's going to do it.
Yeah. But this guy is more of a was more of a jiu-jitsu guy, right? So, yeah. I mean, you know, are you going to stick with that strategy if you were to fight like a, you know, kickboxing type athlete?
No.
Oh, really? You're going to keep hands low?
My hands are going to be where they need to be.
all right.
Take them down whenever I want.
So, can we see first fight? See how I have first fight there? Because first fight, 58 seconds in, huge punch.
I need a name or something.
Can you give this to him? thank you. Because
which link is it? Right here?
Yeah, yeah.
He meant running over to the booth.
Yeah.
Come on, Ween.
Great operation here.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Better Box Studios, sponsored by Speedweed. Again, the guys running the boards are high as balls.
Yeah.
High as a banana farmer back there.
Now, Max, by the way, you're in Vegas. You're from North Carolina. You were from Ohio, then NC. There's women everywhere. How are you avoiding this trap? Is it with that creepy mustache or what?
Yeah, what is it like? Yeah, why are you trying to dull the handsomeness, bro, with that mustache? Is that what's going on? It's just you got to...
Listen here.
You have to front headlock too many fine ladies?
I want to hear his explanation. All right. Go on.
Listen here. Porn stash equals porn cardio.
Hell yeah.
All right. I get it.
All right, so listen
to
this right here.
I got to do something. Guys, look at me. I got to do something to keep going.
Oh, good, Max!
That's true. All right, so this right here. That's Mayhem. What is he doing here? This is on his Twitter page. What kind of leg is
that? Oh, man, that's a classic setup to a damn... he turned it into a single leg. Let him explain it.
Yeah. So that's just an M&R roll, and then I missed the leg. I didn't get my hips up to attack the legs, and I just kept rolling through. And he was trying to like high leg out, and I just came up on the low double.
Yeah. So I mean, what, you don't remember M&R? The M&R roll.
I don't know much about it.
Oh yeah, you jump into this. There's some look. It's a high level grappling technique where you kind of like flip it. See how he like slid into this?
How come he didn't get it though?
No, the guy like freaked out and tried to run away, and he just came up on a double leg. It's like smarter to get up on a double leg.
Ah.
You see?
And that's the difference between me and wrestlers and me and jiu-jitsu guys, because I can do both. Guys, if normally when guys attack stuff like that, they get stuck on bottom because they don't know how to wrestle, and the wrestlers don't know shit about the ground, so.
Do we have a first fight in on this page right here? First fight in, and then also his Shagyo Invitational, because he does this weird flying butt scoot that I've never seen before. Yes.
Yo, I put that dude out in a minute in that match, though. I don't know why you're making fun of it.
No, I'm not making fun of anything. I'm telling people that you're the next.
Listen, we say butt scoot with the most with the most respect, bro. Yeah,
I'm trying to put my butt in his face.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a contract with Titan FC, or are we going to see you in the UFC? Because I feel like you're ready for the UFC.
Yeah, I have a 4-fight contract with Titan with Azufa out.
Oh,
so UFC out.
That's smart.
So you just got to keep up this win streak, right? You got to keep it going, and then what? They can option you at any time.
Wow, that's crazy. I never heard of Azufa out.
Me neither.
I'm ready to take a short notice fight for the UFC. I don't know how long they would give notice, but like I can make weight on like 3 days notice, and I'm good to go. Honestly, wow. I didn't want to fight the dude that was 6-5. Like I don't want to do that.
Because you feel like it's not helping you out at all, or
no, it doesn't help me. And like I don't like. Honestly, I feel bad because like I train with some really really good high level guys, and I know where I'm at. Like if I want to like hurt this dude, I could without breaking a sweat. And I'm not trying to like. And if,
all right, so this is your first fight. You're fighting a guy, Omar Hussein, Team Alpha Male. Now you claim Team
Who's
Alpha Male
7-1 is a killer.
This guy's 7-1. All right, this is his first fight ever. Press play. Thank you, by the way. So right here, okay, boom, boom. Mayhem, what are you seeing here?
Yeah, look, this guy obviously has some damn natural power, and it's going to be interesting to see how you develop, you know. I like that you're, you know, really taking your grappling to heart, you know, and I think that as you develop as a striker, too, just going to be a terrifying beast, bro. So
now,
keep it going.
Now, is Team Alpha Male ducking you still? Weren't they ducking you?
So one of their guys. So I got offered to fight. I can't remember his name. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. And I said I would do it. I guess people weren't going to fight him. And then he fights at 45 and 55 both. And I said, all right, I'll make 55. I just got back from vacation with my ex-girlfriend. And it was like 4 days notice. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Let's go. And then they turned it down. And then a week later, I saw his manager in the gym. And they're like, the manager was like, yeah, man, I'm not letting any of my guys fight you.
Whoa, look at that. And then could we see his thing in the Shaggy-O Invitational? Because
Shaggy.
Now this is some pretty cool stuff. First of all, what this looks like? It's like some kind of top secret jiu-jitsu match. What is this?
So only submission only is incredibly boring, right? Like some of those matches are like 60 minutes. We had one that was 70 minutes, and so they did the tournament where. No one knows about it. We go, we film it. They produce the show and then put it out months later.
That sounds kind of uneventful, though. Shouldn't they just put it out like the same day? Don't you want to know who won, who wins? Or, but no, but like where?
No one even knew it was happening until it started getting released. It's the best way to do something.
All right, it's 35 seconds in. All right, so it looks like, I mean, it
where
looks
did they
like,
record this?
It looks like it's like some like random Van Damme fucking movie.
Kumite?
Yeah, it looks like a Kumite.
Are you telling me that you went into the woods to fight the Kumite, bro?
Look at this, match one. Now, where is
okay.
it? All right.
Yeah.
It's like the full event we have.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we have the full event.
No, we have 35 seconds in, right? No? Oh, don't we have?
How are we going to find this match?
Oh, right here. No.
We're like halfway through.
It's halfway
through.
This is what are we doing?
I don't know. He did a flying.
We were ill prepared for this.
All right.
We're sorry, Max. We're figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're fast forwarding through it like my grandma with the VCR showing me Bully Beatdown highlights right now.
Where's my beat?
Oh, here we go. Round two. Boom. Here we go. Thank you. All right. So here we go.
Right.
This strange jiu-jitsu match in the middle. I don't know what the
fuck. I like this.
You like this?
I mean, I like it. Yeah, it looks pretty gangster.
It does? Okay, so here's Max. So this guy just pulls guard, and then you do like a flow. Now, what exactly are you doing here?
He's doing the Sean Spangler. That's a classic Sean Spangler maneuver right there.
I
know all about that. We used to do that to each other at Cobra Kai. You try to do a guard pass and fly by the guy.
It seemed like he just wanted to like put his butt in the guy's head.
Oh yeah, you got to give the teabag splash. Come on, you never watched Deadpool?
That's a real thing, a teabag splash?
Undoubtedly, bro. Come on.
You've done that to people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
you got to get with the times. Yes, all of them.
Max, are you still with us?
Yeah.
All right. So now, did you?
So this guy was just trying to attack my legs, and I think the biggest advantage for him was to get in on my legs. And I still wasn't at this time. It was over a year ago. I wasn't very versed in leg locks yet, and so I was just trying to avoid those positions and get to his head, really. And so I'm jumping up towards his head every time, and I can scramble better. So I was kind of getting away with it. I'm about to put him out cold here in a second.
So you actually, it's crazy. He puts him out cold. I think the guy's dead.
Yeah.
The ref just lifts him up and like drags him into like a fucking moat or something.
Yeah,
This guy was ranked fourth in the world in jiu-jitsu.
Look, they just take his legs.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what you got to do. Like, if a guy is passed out, yeah.
This is legal here?
Well, I mean, look, in Africa, they play with their penis.
I know, they do that.
That's how they wake you up. But here in America, we just do your legs because we're G-rated.
The guy just gets up and leaves. And now, how much? Go on, Max.
That dude was ranked fourth or fifth in the world at black belt and just won ADCC trials.
And you're a purple belt under Drysdale, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you get paid a lot of money for this, or is this bragging rights?
You get paid if you for first and second and fastest submission. So I got $1,500 because I got second in this tournament.
Got it. All right. So that's this guy Max is the real deal, huh?
Yeah. I'm excited to see your man career. Look, when you get big time, bro, you got to come back on the show. All right.
Yeah.
Seriously. So like, don't go big timing us. All right.
Yeah.
I'd love to be on anytime.
Yeah, by the way, what was it like sparring with Ngannou?
At first, so when he first started training in Vegas, right, it was awesome because I could kind of like take him down and grapple him and stuff. And then as soon as he learned a little bit of grappling, I don't want to go around him. he's so fast with his timing and his punches, man. He's for heavyweight. Because he's hit me good a couple times, and I'm like, fuck. And he's part of the reason why I know I got a good chin.
I heard nobody wants to spar with him. I heard he'll be like, hey, want to go? And everyone just like either pretends that he's like not talking to them or looks away. Or that, like, yeah, I heard he tries to knock you out in sparring. But not even like trying. He just does. Like he jabs and people are falling down.
Yeah, I think I've only ever turned because he was always asking me to go so I could like kind of try to wrestle and grapple with him, right? But the thing about it is because especially now as I'm starting to get more opportunities, and if you took his dead bones and my dead bones and you smacked them up against each other as hard as you could, mine are going to break, right?
Right.
And so I think the risk for injury is there, but like I've never really shied away from sparring like some of the big guys.
Now I'm going to go ahead and stop you right there, okay? So don't be a tough guy, all right? Like, your career is just getting going there, pal, all right? And I don't want to see you get injured sparring with the damn heavyweight, okay? Yeah. Don't let your ego get you injured.
I know. I'm saying I used to. And like last right. time, yeah, right. I said no because I had just got hurt a couple months before that.
Yeah. Going with good a guy call.
Like 20. And so I am. I've learned it, and it's to the point now where I don't got to prove anything to anyone.
Were you teammates with Darian Caldwell, or was he after you, or before you?
He was. I just started wrestling when he won a national title.
Got it. Well, listen, yeah. Max. We look forward to having you back. Where can people find you on Instagram or Twitter?
Maxing out with two X's, 155, and then Max triple X out on in Twitter.
All right, bud, we got to talk about this branding off the air, bro, because, like, you know what I mean?
Bam.
Yeah.
Do you know how to see what that neck do?
Great. No. How do you see what that neck do?
From the back in any of your fights?
The what now?
Is he what? Packing. Oh,
from the back in any of your fights?
Did I hit it from the back?
Did girls ever think you were packing during your fights? Is that what you're asking them? Girls don't know if you're packing. Did you ever hit it from the back? You ever take someone's back in your fights?
Yes.
Yes.
That's how you hit it from the back.
Thanks, bud. Top notch joke. You're doing that porn stash justice, pal. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care, man.
Hey, have a great day, bro. Good job.
That was Maxing Out. I like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good fighter, man.
Yeah, you're great. Yeah, it's cool. It'll be nice to watch his fights progress. It'll be nice to see.
What do you think? You think he's got the total package?
Well, I mean, at this stage in the game, I really think that the missing piece of his game is a stand-up. And I know who he's fighting now. He's going to run into the same problem I did, like where my stand-up was not up to par because I was dominating everybody with wrestling and jiu-jitsu. It's like the same thing. So, you know, I think that he's like head and shoulders a better grappler than most anybody. But I really think that he's gonna keep developing as a fighter. Right now, I think he's super focused. He's got a really great team. All those dudes he named are like fantastic jiu-jitsu guys. And Dewey Cooper is exactly what he's describing. Not knockout punches, but like he's got enough natural power to get him through. But Dewey Cooper's style is like stick and move.
So you're training Max right now, right? Max is now your new client because you're managing fighters.
All right.
So what do you do with Max?
I'd stick him at a high level Muay Thai place at least 4 days a week. You know what I mean? Because I think that as great as he is at grappling, I feel like we can afford a little bit. You know, like I like how in video games you put skill points into the guy and make him this way or that way.
He's like full level.
I feel like he's maxed out grappling. Like he's nobody's going to be able. There's not going to be – he's, like, up there near Khabib. He's up there near Ferguson as far as grappling goes. And I don't want to lose that, but I think that focusing on kickboxing a little bit more will round him out.
Now, me being look,
but that's my opinion.
Not me, not yeah,
and look, and Khabib, I don't think is a fantastic kickboxer, and he's making it work for him. Maybe that's the route that he's end up taking, and I think that that could be the way he does it, is to be just a dominant front headlock type wrestler where he just grapples everybody to death, darces them, you know, and he can like he was bragging, that dude that he choked out was a high level jiu-jitsu guy, like elite level jiu-jitsu guy, and he choked him the hell out real quick. So I definitely think, as far as MMA goes, it's going to be hard pressed to find a guy to out grapple him. But in the meantime, you know, hands down type style.
That's the thing. That's
dangerous.
That scares me.
And Titan FC, I don't think he's going to run into a guy.
There's some good guys in Titan FC.
There are good. No, but what I'm saying is that more than likely he's going to be able to out wrestle all those dudes that can out kickbox him.
But all things one punch to get through.
His weight class, it's less likely. You know, the lighter weight classes is a, you know, it's not unheard of, but it's less likely that you're going to get KO'd. That's just reality. You know, is that their head can take as much damage as another 155er can dish out, usually.
Why did you laugh when I asked him about why he keeps his hand so low? You started laughing. Why?
No, I started to laugh. Wait, right now?
No, during the interview.
No, that was when he asked about touching people. Because I thought about touching dudes, like dudes touching each other, like inappropriate way. That's what came to my mind. That's why I started to laugh.
Oh, classic. That's great.
Thanks, Wayne.
We have only the best analysis.
Yeah,
here.
He's always giving it. He's always laying down the hammer.
I mean, when you guys are in an interview like that, I can't jump in because you guys are like, you know what you want to talk about. So, like, I'm just thinking about dudes and, like, when he's talking about Francis Ngannou, I'm like, has he seen Francis's piece, like, in the shower, like, at
That's all you think about.
That's all I was
every
thinking
every time,
the
bro.
Was like, how big
you
is
can't go one show
game?
Without this dude asking about somebody's piece.
Yeah.
No, but when I asked him during the interview, how come you keep your hands low, you started laughing.
So. Oh, well, I don't know. To be honest,
it was a pretty obvious question. I think maybe but I was just. You're right though. As somebody watching, I'm like, hands are low. I always get nervous when I see a wrestler keep his hands low, because I'm like, certain guys. And then people say that they keep their hands low, but that way you can't see the punches coming, right?
I mean, it's sort of, yeah, that's sort of accurate.
Your hands are pretty low.
Sometimes, but no, but like, look, when you're out of range. Yeah, sure, you can keep them low. But when you're in range and you're going to jump into the pocket, better keep them high. Mm-hmm. Better have some defensive responsibility. You know, as my career progressed, I stopped doing that as much. Because I got tagged a few times putting my hands so low. And the reality is that as you get older, it's harder to take those punches. So
now, why do you always put parts unknown? Because that was one of the funniest things.
Because I was from everywhere. Because I never had, like... Yeah, now I made peace where I came from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Like, that was like, I never really like accepted, because I didn't ever really feel like I was from there, because, you know, I was from an army family. Yeah. You move around all the time.
You grew up on the base?
Yeah. And then we moved off of it, and I felt like strange.
Were there schools on the base?
Yeah. They're actually like, it's crazy the way the government works, is because I never, went to a better school than I did on the Army base. Like great teachers, great, like, you know, all the best.
Small classes,
yeah, it was like the best. Like, because the government, it was like right there at the source of the government funding. Then I went out to, we moved to suburbia thinking that it would improve our quality of life. And instead, we just had a bigger house and like shittier people.
But you're also on an Army base. Doesn't like the whole community know you? So they're kind of all looking out for you, like, oh, that's what's
you'd
next
think
kid.
So, but you're like packed in there so tight, like sardines, like it's government housing, bro. It's still government housing. So it's like a damn, the projects a little bit, where you're all stacked on top of each other, and it's the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder.
If you're misbehaving, don't people, hey, you know, Mr. Mayhem, I saw your son yesterday, and he was sort of, you know, doing, don't people kind of.
Bro, are you not getting it? I'm talking about the Army.
Yeah.
Like, it's a military. When are they going to talk to my dad? When he's in the field, or when he's in the desert, or when he's back in the field, or when he's back
around?
Dude, when you're in the Army, you got to work. Like, you got to go. They send you out there. You're government property. So, yeah, my dad was gone a lot. So he was, like, shipped out to
this place,
that place.
Did your mom have any control over you and your sister?
Yeah. You know, my mom was she's a very strong lady, and was very, like, you know, she was really caring, you know, and really like cared about our well-being and try to get us to do good in school.
Was it hard having like...
But the reality is, it's very difficult when one parent, you know, is away, and it's just difficult for one person to run the whole household.
Oh, dude, I can't hear from my wife. I'm away for a week.
I know. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Now, was it hard though being like one of the best fighters in the world and always losing to your sister?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I feel like that's one of my biggest regrets.
Really?
No, I love my sister, but yeah, she definitely would win. She'd win every fight.
But she was, because I remember, like, she was like what, 220?
She was like 200 pounds muscle. Like,
how good was
she,
her
just
headlock?
Like, oh, I mean, it's tremendous. She just is like one of the elite headlockers in the game. Yeah.
Did she train at all?
Yeah, she did train, actually, like, for a little while. Like, she was super. She got into it a little bit. Her thing was roller derby. She would just dominate every girl, would be throwing girls over the boards. It was just, like, not even Betty Machete. That's what she went by. And she was just a badass.
Were you the bad family in town? Were you, like, the Millers? Listen, were the Miller
no,
family?
No, but I think you missed the part where I said Vietnam. Where
I've been there.
Everybody was the bad family in town. Yeah,
they were like legitimately. I drove around. There's like whorehouses everywhere.
Really?
And still, like about 6 years ago, and they were like, yeah, it was crazy.
Well, you got to understand, it's the offshoot of an army base, so there's gonna be a lot of lonely guys there needing some love. And I mean, how many whorehouses did you go to?
I didn't go to any of them. I just drove past them. I've never in my life been to a prostitute. Have you been to a prostitute?
Never.
No. You?
I mean, I got freebies, plenty of them.
Yeah, yeah. I've hooked up with girls that didn't charge me, but they were like friends. They were like, yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to be insulted or not. They were like, this guy can't afford me. So, by the way, let's talk about... Some of the fights, some of my shows in Vegas last week.
Oh, God.
I didn't talk about my shows.
Did you do a show every night?
Every night of the week.
Wow.
Monday to Sunday. One night, Anthony Njikawani came. You know him?
Yeah.
He's a great fighter. So he came with his...
That's how you say his name, shit.
Njikawani. His brother, Chitty Bang. They call him Chitty.
Yeah.
So he came with this woman who's Lisa King, who's like a very big kickboxer back in the day. And she has a daughter, and he's dating her daughter, who's like 30. Beautiful. Mm. And the mom's beautiful. And I was giving him the hardest time. Like when you guys have sex, you do it standing up because you have no ground game. Just like, and then, and
classic,
he turned like purple. Like, it was actually, he said he was sweating. And then Lisa wrote a whole thing of like 50 shades of black. Like, that's how many shades he turned during the fight. So then he was like, hey, why don't you come to my class? I'm going to make you sweat. So I went to his, that's the thing about Vegas, is that you can go to like a random kickboxing class and it's a world champion training you. So I was there with like 8 people. It was a hard ass class, but that was awesome. So thank you for doing that. And then Vince Murdoch, who trained with Team Alpha Male, who finally made it to the UFC, got tested. He had like a brain condition.
Ooh.
He had like a GoFundMe for his brain surgery, which I donated. And he's a great guy, but it was successful. And now he's actually back fighting. So I go, obviously it wasn't that successful if you're still fighting.
Yeah.
But he came, and then Keith Berry came, was a big fan of our show.
Hell yeah.
Who he dated for a while, Nicole Aniston, who was a porn star.
Yes, I'm a big fan.
You're a big fan of her?
Yeah.
So during the show, I said, yeah, both of them take shots to the face. He was, so, but... Keith Berry's a good dude. But it's crazy because I was coaching wrestling, and I go, guys, you know, in practice, the winner of this next takedown gets, and I go, I don't know, who do you guys like, Miley Cyrus or, you know, whatever? And this little Indian kid on my team goes, Nicole Aniston.
Nice.
I'm like, great. So they're watching porn now in middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know. It's just,
that's when I started.
Man.
Really?
Yeah, because that's when, like, phones first started to get internet on them. So somebody would come to school, like one of my friends, and he'd have, like, a short, like, 6-second video of a girl, like, masturbating with, like, a giant pink dildo. That's, like, the first porn I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, I started begging my parents.
He remembers it so vividly.
It was pink. Huh?
I started to beg my parents for iPhone, because that's, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta watch porn now.
And what happened?
I got one.
See,
and then
the
my life ended.
That's the problem, is that the internet, like when I was a kid, we had National Geographic. Yeah. Those were the naked girls.
Dude, I grew up on an army base, and my next door neighbor when I was 10 had like a stack of, like, his dad's Hustlers and Penthouses. Oh my God. Really? That was just that warped my sense of reality. Yeah. I can't imagine what kids
I had like
are
National Lampoon
now.
Magazine. Yeah. You see a girl's tits and you were like you invite all your friends over.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
No, and meanwhile, I'm like in the bathroom in fourth grade showing kids Hustler magazine, getting busted for it, trying to flush it.
But the problem is that's what we had.
I know.
Magazines. He's getting pink dildos, girls masturbating in middle school.
He's,
and that's why right now he's into, you know, sword porn.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Like, I'm into coronavirus porn now. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, that's a real thing.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll just tell you this, that like
two, you're into that?
Two fine girls walk by with those masks on, and I gotta tell you, I think I got a new fetish.
Yeah.
Maybe I gotta Google this.
Well, didn't you have a mask when you came out to the
All the time, yeah. But I mean, never a coronavirus mask.
So you're into that? There's actually porn now. People wearing hazmat suits.
Oh, really?
It's a real thing.
So hazmat, but you just unlock the bottom?
I don't know. Have you watched it?
Yeah, of course.
And then, like, the girl has, like, one of those, like, you know what I mean? Like, the button-up thing in the back? Is that what's going on?
Like, onesie pajamas? Like,
nah, exactly.
Yeah. Wait, so you masturbated to hazmat porn?
Well, I'm not saying I'm masturbating to it. I might just be doing research on it to see. Like, you know, it's a new fad. I got to look it up, dude. So yeah,
not full masturbation, but chubbing it up
with
hazmat?
Yeah, just chubbing it up. Yeah.
All right.
But there's something very interesting about, like, the, you know, the mental side of this porno. Because it's, like, I think it's very romantic. You have, like, one person who might have coronavirus. They don't want to get their significant other the virus. But then the significant other says, you know what, baby, it's all right. I love you. We're in this together. And then they just bang each other. It's like AIDS porn. When you have somebody going around giving people AIDS.
I never watched AIDS porn in my life.
No, trust me. You have watched AIDS porn.
Yeah, you just didn't know it.
By the way, speaking of which, I'm like booked to do a cruise ship next month. And like, I guess
speaking
like,
of AIDS.
And I'm like, my wife's like, you're not going. All my friends are like, you're not going.
What if you get stuck on a cruise ship for like... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
quarantine,
like,
2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Quarantine right now. Ooh. Yeah, so I got to figure out how to get out of this one.
Man,
like,
so you're changing your mind? You're changing your mind?
I'm not going to go.
Really?
I'm going to get fired from the cruise company, but whatever.
You are.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, they have to understand.
It doesn't matter.
Just say you already have the virus.
Oh.
Actually, I have thought of that.
Yeah?
Don't think I have not thought of that. Like, I've been coughing all day. You don't want me on there.
I don't know what could be wrong with me. I should go to the doctor or something.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, so that's that. Anyway. Oh, so let's talk about some more fights. Because this fight I want to bring up, this LFA fight. Look, there's all these fights right now.
I know. It's overwhelming at this stage.
At the same time, there's hidden gems. And me being we have the best podcast out there. By the way, tell everybody, keep spreading the words. Don't think I don't see that. When you guys put that on Twitter and Instagram and saying that this is my favorite podcast, it means the world to me, especially because I'm losing money on the show every week. Okay, so listen, it makes me feel like I'm doing something good for a living. But LFA fight, a guy got knocked out by his own shoulder.
But really, was it though?
Yeah,
I
you
saw
got it.
This.
You still saw the slam?
Yeah.
You don't think it was his own shoulder?
I mean, yeah, but it wouldn't happen like by himself.
Oh, right.
He got taken down.
Right.
And yeah, obviously, like when you slam a dude down on his elbow, his shoulder jams up into his face.
That's the blackest guy I've ever seen in my life. That is the blackest guy I've ever seen.
He is a cocoa bunny. That's for sure.
There's like nine things I could say right now, but I'm
it's not bad.
So let's see this fight right here.
Surprisingly white name though.
Nate Richardson. Really, I feel like Nate's a black. A lot of black guys named Nate. Yeah. All right, so here you go. Boom, picks him up, and his own shoulder knocked him out. No.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But yeah, it was the. So what happened? He braced for the hit.
He braced for it, like as he fell down. Yeah, do we have a slow-mo at the end of that? Let's check that out because you know. I'm pretty sure that, like, what happened was, and, it, you know, it's happened to me before where...
You knocked yourself out?
I mean, it's not like he knocked himself out. This guy dumped him, and, yeah, he was trying to brace, you know, for impact, but his chin slammed into his shoulder.
Now,
at least that's what it looked like.
Do you think it's a weak chin or... Does, or
no, not a weak chin. That was just a tremendous amount of force. Think about it. All the guy's weight, all the other guy's weight came, you know... arcing down. So his head landed at a funny angle.
But this is also kind of a fluke, no? It's kind of a fluke. I mean,
nothing. If I throw you on your head and you die, I go to jail for manslaughter.
Of course, but,
so
I've never seen a guy.
Oh, he hit his own shoulder
it's
on his head.
Not a fluke, but I've never seen a guy get knocked out with this kind of a slam by having a shoulder break. So that being said, if he doesn't land this way, granted, he's now in a terrible position.
There are better ways to land than that.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm saying is it just an unlucky? Obviously, he shouldn't have got slammed and yada, 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 but he might have.
Well, that was like an improper break fall, that's for sure.
That's what happened?
Yeah, like, look, when I first did judo, like, we spent the first few practices, just slamming ourselves on the ground to the point where I, like, went home aching all over. And I didn't understand why at the time. But then as my career progressed, I realized that, shit, I can fall and be fine because I'm used to dispersing the impact through right. the ground instead of like this where all the impact went directly onto his arm and up through his shoulder. You know, you can't have like one small point be the point of impact. It's right. got to be dispersed through the entire, you got to roll through it, you know? And instead, man, maybe he was trying, but you know, the guy took him down so fast that it just spiked him into that shoulder and whoopsie.
It's crazy. Yeah. But if you're his coach, do you tell him unlucky break? It was a freak accident or shouldn't have got taken down like
that. Yeah, shouldn't have got taken down. Like, that's the reality is that, look, next time, all right, we're going to go take down defenses where you're, you know, you can get your hips out of the way so you don't get lifted like that. You know, use your whizzer more.
Because I know, when I'm coaching wrestling, like with the kid got pinned, he has elbow out on a shot. This guy underhooked. Yeah, and I tell them, hey, listen, if you just would have had your elbows in, that wouldn't have happened.
You got to tighten up. Yeah. Look, every loss is a learning experience. And I'm sure he's going to figure out, you know, he's going to work on his wrestling after that match. I know, I've lost fights where I got taken down early in my career and then went, oh my God, I really got to up my wrestling right here. And it takes that kind of wake up call to do it. Yeah. It's not a fluke. Exactly. If the guy slams you down on the ground, he's trying to knock you out. It's not like he wasn't trying to hurt the guy.
Right.
We in there, it's serious.
But there are he's certain times, like, I remember when Jake Ellenberger's foot got caught in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was fighting and his foot got caught in the side of the cage.
That was against Masvidal, right?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, happens, yeah.
I mean, but that never happened. I've never seen that happen before.
I haven't seen it happen.
Really?
Yeah.
You've probably seen it. Is there anything you haven't seen?
Yeah. I mean, I never seen a man eat his own head.
But you've seen, like, a guy get pantsed?
I've seen Randy Couture get pantsed, yeah.
By who?
I think Waleed Ishmael.
He pantsed him?
Yeah. You know what? I just remember that right now. He like ripped his pants off during the fight. Yeah.
I've seen a nipple pops out. I've seen nipples pop out in fights.
Magana.
Somebody else. This other girl, Elizabeth something. I've seen a guy shit himself. I've seen a girl shit herself.
Is this your checklist?
I've seen biting. I've seen fish hook. I've seen eye gouging.
Yeah.
I've seen a guy. I remember Mark Kerr said that he opened up a cut and tried to dig his thumb in and get him to tap that way in the guy's eye. We've seen headbutts. I'm trying to think. We've seen shoes fall off. I've seen James Toney wore slippers during a fight against Randy Couture. I've seen hair being pulled, right? You've seen hair being pulled.
No dicks, though. No dicks falling out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I've seen
Dennis Hallman?
Dennis Hallman's ball popped out.
Really?
Yeah.
And then Dana White gave the other guy a bonus for getting his balls off the screen and said that.
Disgusting.
I never seen a guy bite a guy's testicles. But I have seen Gary Goodrich told me during a fight, they told him no rules, and they said there were rules. He removed the guy's cup, grabbed his ball sack, squeezed as hard as he can, and the guy tapped that way. So that's the closest I've
seen. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry I came on the show today.
What's the crazy thing everybody did with you?
I don't know.
Someone probably bit you before, right?
Yeah. But
Where'd they bite you?
Just on the arm. So it was like no big deal. But like, yeah. I don't know. I don't, again.
Anybody ever grab your testicles?
I got to admit that I grabbed some testicles.
Oh, come on.
But I was in high school, okay? State tournament.
Really?
Yeah. And this dude, listen, they called our names. And I looked over across the mat and was confused. Because I was like, yo, that's a grown-ass man looking like Kevin Randleman right here.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't. I just didn't. I had this tournament in my head the whole year. And was like so excited. I was going to win. And this dude just pancaked me in the first minute, and yeah,
you
I'm grab ashamed.
His testicles?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What?
Because I saw that the referee was on the other side.
While you're on your back?
What a dirtbag! It still echoes with me to this day. I feel like a piece of shit.
I had a girl one time. I wrestled a girl, and she grabbed my balls.
Nice.
And it was like the only time any girl grabbed my balls in high school.
Bro.
So it was actually kind of like, hey, you gotta get it where you can. Right.
That explains a lot.
So this week, Bellator, Pitbull versus Carvalho. I always get the Pitbull brothers confused. I feel like it's like the Killer Bees.
There's like 47 pit bulls in MMA.
But there's two brothers that are like champions of Bellator. But Carvalho,
which pit bull is it?
One of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Can we bring up the Bellator? He's fighting Carvalho, who won 6 in a row. His last, he beat Sam Cecilia by face crank. Was he on your season, Cecilia?
No.
Ultimate Fighter. So this should be a good fight. Pitbull brothers don't get the. They don't get the props that they deserve. I think because they speak Portuguese and they're not as marketable as like fighters. But
you know, like the hardcore Patricio. People, they know. Okay, it's
and, then, and they have their names are Patricia and Patricio, right? Isn't that the?
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure those are like
no imagination off. Down there in Brazil. Like,
were they
like,
part of the guys you train with?
Everybody is a
were these
pit bull.
Two guys part of the
no,
guys?
No, no, no. Yeah, I don't have any connection to the guys. But, like, yeah, they're you know what? Yeah, they were, actually, huh? Because they were training with Jose Aldo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember these guys now.
Little
yeah.
Badasses.
But, yeah, they were just getting into it back then.
Also, Emmanuel Sanchez has won 6 out of 7, wins over Georgie Karakanyan, over Claxton, who's a good fighter. He's fighting Weichel, who lost. This is a rematch. It was a split decision. Should be a good fight. And Hani Marcus.
Hani.
He's supposed to fight Barnett. Not fighting Barnett. He's not fighting Matt Mitrione, who lost 2 in a row.
Mitrione?
Yeah, Matt Mitrione. Yeah, Matt Mitrione.
Mitrione. You got to say it with like this little sauce to it.
And that guy hits so hard. I remember, what's his name? McCorkle has a funny story how he like went out to Vegas to train with him, and he never actually showed up any of the days. McCorkle was stuck in the hotel the whole time.
What?
Yeah, yeah. He said he's the worst best friend. And Paul Daly's fighting. That guy...
Daly's back. Yeah. Fighting who, though?
Sabak Homasi?
I don't know. What's the guy's record? Is he, like, on a win streak or something?
I think he's good, but I think that they need Paul Daly to be a star again.
Yeah.
So I think they're giving him a
guy. I can imagine that, yeah.
And then Nick Newell. He's a guy with one arm.
Yeah.
So
Newell's...
He's in Bellator.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. You know what? I always make one-arm jokes about him, and he always, like, laughs or retweets them. Like I said, he's giving away unused, like, left autographed gloves or something. Never been used before. Like, but he said he actually did that because he has to buy a pair of gloves. He can only use one because he's got one arm. So he gives the other one to charity, which they got to be like, well, why are you only getting one glove? I guess you got to find another guy with one arm.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, so Nick Newell.
Well, then he wouldn't even give him away if he had another guy who had a missing right arm.
So, yeah, I remember one time the WSOF, and they never promoted it this way. Yeah. It was the funniest, or because like they had Nick Newell, right, who has one arm, and then Matt Hamill was the next fight, who's the deaf guy. Then they had a guy that was a crime fighter who like at the who like
Phoenix only, Jones.
No, oh. Phoenix Jones was fighting his brother. He was fighting his brother on the card.
Phoenix Jones was fighting his brother.
Yeah.
Damn.
And
you know, an interesting thing about Phoenix Jones, I don't know if you heard about this.
Recently, something happened recently.
Yeah, like, I guess you die a hero or you live long enough to be the villain because now he's like busted for a bunch of like cocaine ecstasy sales.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, you know, I think that the fans know I'm pretty libertarian about things. I feel like. You know,
you think it was him, or think it was another crime hero who said? Remember when Batman?
It was Phoenix Jones with the mustache.
Maybe there was a fake Batman. Remember like some of the things with bad Superman. Everyone thinks it's him.
Evil Superman.
Yeah, but it's not him. You think
maybe someone's trying to frame Phoenix Jones?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's deep, bro.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's like a Stan Lee subplot right there. We're gonna make a franchise out of this.
So, but the WSOF never did anything. Like you would think that having a one armed guy, a deaf guy, and a superhero
walk into a bar.
Like, that's how you should market yourself, right?
I guess. Wait, they didn't?
No, they just put it on like this is normal.
But remember, I'm sure you remember this, and I'm going to get some flack for saying this, but remember Japan had some, like, disabled fights, like, full-on missing chromosomes?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like, very strange. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like there's a market there.
Of course, dude, there is.
You know what I mean?
Buy every single card, like, call Special Olympics, but for like, you know, MMA
snowflake fights, something. You know, everybody's unique.
Snowflake.
I don't know. Transgenders, two transgenders versus each other.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm not putting them in the same category as disabled people.
We're watching that right
people.
Now. This is just, oh my god, you're not kidding.
I know.
This is fake wrestling though. Or
listen,
actual
bro.
Is that guy wearing? Is that a guy?
It's all fake wrestling, bro.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. All right.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Now we're all depressed. We took back everything we said about this.
I didn't mean to make it dark.
Yeah, this was... But there was... Yeah, all right. So also, Leslie Smith is fighting a girl, Jess Miel, whose nickname is The Widowmaker, which is kind of dark,
right?
That's
a badass nickname. The Widowmaker? I thought about that the other day.
Like, you just go around killing husbands? Like
The Widowmaker.
Yeah.
So she's... No, she's making widow... So yeah, she's killing dudes.
Yeah, like if you're a widow, doesn't that mean like your husband died?
Yeah.
So you're on killing husbands.
Shouldn't she be the widower maker? Is that too wordy?
I don't know.
The widower maker, like she kills girls in the ring.
Yeah. Listen, so she's fighting Leslie Smith. I like Leslie. Leslie one time.
I mean, it's a little bit better than Max Payne 237 as a Twitter following. Whatever.
So, but anyway, Leslie Smith is a girl who I love. At one point, she got like a tumor removed from her stomach and then did stand up comedy that night on my show. And my wife comes in from Vegas and I'm like, and she has the video of it. And I'm like, look, she got her tumor removed. And my wife's like, who do you hang out with? And then Stefan Bonner comes over and goes, look, I still have a tooth logged into my fist of a guy that I punched. And it was just one of those. My wife was pregnant at the time. Anyway, also, Kimbo Slice Jr. saw on the card.
Nice.
Who's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he should be. He's training over there at Body Shop, right?
Yeah, but he's not. He's good. He's getting better. They kind of rushed him. But that's in Bellator. In the UFC, Kevin Lee is taking on Charles Oliveira.
It's an amazing card, dude, for fight night. It's
Oliveira's already turning it over.
Oliveira.
My bad,
Charles Oliveira.
Oh, okay.
Also a really good fighter.
Yeah, dude.
Damian Maia versus Burns. Good with Burns.
Yeah.
Random Marcos versus Amanda Rivas. And then Walker, Johnny Walker.
He's finally
back. Can we show some of Johnny Walker's breakdancing? Because this dude's hilarious.
Johnny Walker
fighting Krylov, Victor Krylov.
Yeah,
Should be a good fight,
dude. It's gonna be a
great
card.
Not Victor Krylov, right? What is it, Nikita?
It's
Krylov?
Some Russian
Nikita Khrushchev.
Yeah.
No, but my parlay for this fight or for this fight night is gonna be Oliveira.
Yeah.
Gilbert
over
Burns.
Over Kevin Lee's last fight, 100%. He just knocked out. So this dude is hilarious. So this guy injured his shoulder breakdancing after a fight.
Yeah.
He won the fight, did like the worm or something, or. Could we put Johnny Walker walkouts or something?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. This is right here. So after a fight, he wins. I was at this fight. He starts doing this and then messes up his shoulder.
That was not a worm, and that did look like he like blew his shoulder out. What the hell was that about? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he injured for real?
No.
Did he get fixed?
Here's a guy.
I feel like he dislocated his shoulder doing the worm.
He came out, knocked out Jimmy Manoa, was on a tear.
Yeah, we know him already. Come
out
on. Yes.
By
Corey Anderson.
Corey Anderson knocked him out, and this is his first fight back of people. But since then, he fired his trainer. Said it was his trainer's fault. His trainer said that he was on Tinder the whole week and banging. All he cared about was banging girls and this and that. That he wasn't taking it seriously. And you know, we'll see what happens.
Maybe he should go train with Diego Sanchez's coach. What's his guy's name?
I mean, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Be a world beater.
Diego Sanchez got mad at me. Told me to go fuck myself.
Usually do that to you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why.
Thanks, Mayhem. All right, so. What do you got, guys? What do you got coming up?
We're not going to give our picks for the fights for UFC.
All right, what do you got? Oliveira.
I have Oliveira. I think he's just a more well-rounded fighter than Kevin Lee. And then Gilbert Burns is going to win, I think, by decision.
Over Maia?
Yes.
Okay.
And then who else? I think Johnny Walker is going to win. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who Random Marcos is fighting. I don't know. I'm not familiar
Amanda
with
Ribas.
That girl. I'm not familiar, so I wouldn't pick on that one. But that's pretty much it for my picks.
Mayhem?
I don't know. I think Damian Maia could win that one. I'm not sure.
He didn't look that great against Askren.
I know. But
Gilbert Burns
That's a different fight, you know?
Yeah, this is... Well, they're both... I mean, who wins on the ground? It seems like they can't each other out on the ground. And then Burns wins
the
stand-up.
That's what I'm saying. You think so? All right.
Maya's stand-up is not good.
I can see that. I mean, it's been, it's developed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not as great. And yeah, it's Maya's fight to lose, but...
And I think Kevin Lee's got some confidence again.
That's good. I like Kevin Lee a lot.
But I know, but I agree with what he's saying a little bit, because Kevin Lee, like, his confidence got shooken, but it was never really a problem. It was just the fact that his stand-up was just unpolished, and like he would just throw these haymakers.
It seemed like he would also kind of gas out.
Yeah, he would, because he's carrying all that muscle mass for the weight class. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult to not conserve your energy and go all out like that. Man, it's different, man.
Oh, also, we talked about, we missed up the, so last week in the, they had a press conference. They had Khabib versus Ferguson.
Bro, I don't know. Like, these dudes are... You know what it is? Conor McGregor fucked the whole game up. Now we all got to... Every guy...
Yeah, but you were an entertainer, too.
I know I was an entertainer, too. But here's the thing is that Tony is the weirdest dude on interviews and press conferences, and Khabib like barely can speak fucking English, and now he's got to like promote the fight the same way Conor McGregor.
He says you're not a real Mexican.
That was bizarre, and I get kind of what he's saying, and both guys were getting under each other's skin, and the fans love it, but to me it was fucking cringe
because he only has one kid.
It was so so cringe. Like they're both like taking these cheap shots.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a they run out of insults to give to each other, and so now we're going to fake Mexican.
I just feel like if you fight Khabib, you don't want to piss him off because that actually motivates him
to train.
Yeah,
I mean, I disagree. I think that if you can piss him off and get him to gas himself out, his stand-up's not gonna be
Connor,
as good.
Connor pissed him off the most.
I agree, but I don't think Connor had a ground game to be able to deal with Khabib. The other direction, it really works.
Now, can we see the mental health question? Sorry to cut you off.
No, good.
The mental health question, because I know this is actually my friend, Rodney Edgar, who asked this question, and I understand why he asked it, but I think also you have to understand, he did understand that I can see both points of view, because people were like, listen, not everyone's like Tyson Fury, where they're going to, you know, give a speech about mental health. This guy's here. This is personal issues. He's promoting a fight. He's not promoting his mental health. He obviously was very embarrassed with what happened on TMZ. But his reaction was like...
Wait, what?
Can we see this?
What happened on TMZ?
So,
talking about
Ferguson a couple years ago or a year ago, his wife called the cops. It was like, said he was going kind of nuts. He thought they were like... The CIA was tapping his legs or something, and like it just seemed like some real crazy stuff was going on.
All right.
And I hope I'm not speaking out. Like I don't.
You are kind
all
of
allegedly.
Totally,
all allegedly. But I mean,
you're
you
totally
can go on.
Talking
T-
shit
go
right
on.
Now.
T- I'm not talking shit. I'm telling you what was on.
All right.
TMZ.
But so the guy had kind of a breakdown a little bit. Right?
Yeah. All right. So let's see the interview that it should be under press conference mental health question. So this my friend Rodney James Edgar, who's a military guy, who's also was a fighter, and he asked this question at a press conference, and Tony wasn't having any of it. I'll show you.
He's pulling it up. But Tony has always been super like out there, like even on the Ultimate Fighter, it's just been so bizarre. I think that's just his personality. Maybe he might be on the spectrum or some shit. You know, I don't know if it's brain damage, but I just think that's just him.
Yeah, I think he's an extreme kind of dude. Like that's just kind of how he is. And I saw the here. Go ahead and play it. Get some volume on there.
Cool.
You seem to be in really great spirits. I commend you for going headfirst into some, you know, mental health issues and working through that. It takes a lot of courage as a professional athlete, especially. A lot of people look up to you.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you know, I get that.
I was giving you props. I was just wondering.
Fuck the advice. Next question.
I wasn't giving you advice.
I totally get it.
You seem
all
to
right,
be in
because
really-
the guy didn't really ask a question. He's like, he said it, your buddy said it really stupidly. Like the way, hey, I just want to, and all he says like, mental health. So Tony is here with all these lights in his face, right?
To promote a fight.
To promote a fight. Khabib sitting next to him, his opponent, right? And Khabib is like trying to exploit any weakness that this guy has mentally, like to try to like get under his skin, right? Then this guy comes and helps and just says, he doesn't say anything. He could have asked that question way differently. Like,
what was the question? I mean, it wasn't any question.
Like, but like, he could have said, I don't know. He could have said something positive first about, like, before he said the word mental health. Because if you just, like, shout mental health at him, and he's like, he's going to take it.
Could he have said, how's your mental health? Would that be a better question?
I don't think,
what do you think?
You would have gotten
the
same response.
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
So,
well, because it wasn't really the time for that. You know, this isn't like a intimate setting.
So he has
Barbara Walters.
So what should he have said?
You're not sitting there in an intimate, you know what I mean? Just one-on-one interview. You're at a press conference.
So
we know you went crazy. We know you went crazy before. Do you want to talk about this with your opponent who's going to try to rip your fucking head off and shit down your throat in April? Do you want to talk about it in front of it? Let's all cry. So, do you want to workshop this together?
The reason why Tony got mad is because he obviously has to defend himself against the allegations that he's crazy and all this shit. And the way he worded the question was he's basically stating that he did and does have mental health problems.
Well, he said you tackled it head first is what he said.
Yeah, and Tony's defending all of that. He doesn't want to admit that he has mental health problems or anything like that. That's why I got upset.
And he's also probably like, who said I tackled it at first? Maybe I'm still dealing with it. Like, well, I never commented on my mental health. Like, I just had some shit when I had a bad night.
He never did, right?
No. He's like, I had a bad night or a couple bad nights with my wife and shit went fucking awry. Obviously, the UFC thinks I'm well enough to fight. I won my last fight against Donald Cerrone. Like, fuck it, let's talk about my fight. And I understand I know Rodney James Edgar is a really, really sweet guy.
I know, yeah. I get where he's coming from. And I read his response.
And
he's like, oh, whoops.
But
that wasn't the time to do it. And I feel like the response was kind of warranted. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah, fuck it.
Like, I don't need to explain myself to you.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't owe this guy, especially not in that situation. If and I hope Tony does later. Kind of expand on it because I know I have, and I've talked about mental health and drug abuse, and you know I've talked about it out there publicly because I think it needs to be something that's brought to the forefront so that people don't just you put it in this magic box. Oh, it doesn't exist. But the reality is that when you push yourself to the limit like Tony does, when you're going for championship level training. Yeah, it takes a toll on your mental health. And so he's not ready to talk about it. How are you going to try to make him talk about it before the biggest fight of his life? The fight that has been 5 years in the making, they're just going to suddenly, he's going to do a sidebar with this guy about his mental health in front of the guy who's going to try to kill him?
And also, I have ADD, OCD, I take medication. I understand I could probably understand what the fuck Tony was thinking when he thought the CIA, because I thought some fucking crazy shit in my life that I'm like, if you were to read it on paper, you'd be like, Adam's out of his fucking mind. So I can kind of understand where he's coming from. And also, not every guy is that guy that wants to talk about shit. There are a lot of people out there.
But also, it's not the place.
Yeah.
Like, Tyson Fury did it on podcast, like, talked about it, like, and didn't really. Kind of talked around it, talked about it, didn't really, expand on it the way that your guy was trying to get Tony to talk about it in a fucking press conference in front of 1,000 blood. It's a way different vibe.
Yeah.
It's a way different vibe because the press conference thing is just for me to say, oh, I'm going to beat you up. And then him say, I'm going to beat you up. And then I'm going to beat you up. And that's what that's for. That there's no illusions about it. There's just it's going to be a general like smack talk. That's what that event for, not for serious discourse on mental illness. It's not going to happen, you know? And so your friend deserved to get smacked down with fuck you.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, bud.
All good. All right. So let's talk about what we have coming up. Mayhem, what do you have coming up?
You know, Mayhem Martial Arts is going up. I got a bunch of fighters that are working with me.
If I live in Orange County, I want to hire Mayhem Miller to do my
private coach. Yeah, you just sign up on the Mayhem Martial Arts website, you know, get the contact information and bingo bango.
Plane tickets are cheap right now.
They are, bro. And I will not cough coronavirus directly into your face and or eyeballs.
It's good.
Thank you. Weendo, what do you have?
Well, this is actually very exciting, dude. This is my birthday week. I turn 24 on Friday.
Nice.
Which is weird. That's why I'm starting to, you know, become more mature. I'm dressing nicer. I'm not wearing $6 sweaters anymore.
Nice.
This is actually like a $12 sweater from Costco. Also, I officially opened up an email where fans of this show can email me. It's theweendog@gmail.com. Okay. The, and then no space, weendog, W-E-E-N.
Have any guys hit on you since your dream came out?
No, not at all. But you can email that email with any questions,
email
concerns,
dick pics to theweendog.
Or you just
want to
send me a lot of money for no reason. Yeah. Just go to that email, theweendog@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and whatever. It's @theweendog, which is like the same thing. And I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Could you bring up adamhunter.com, by the way? I'll tell my thing. This week, I'm in Wichita, Kansas. There's bare knuckle boxing that same night in Wichita, Kansas. Dave, the caveman Rickles,
awesome,
is fighting in it, as well as Melvin Gillard.
Nice.
Is taking on Dakota Cochran. I'm going to try to go to that. You know Dakota Cochran?
Yeah.
He beat Johnny Hendricks in bare knuckle boxing. He's fucking everyone. And he beat Chris Lieben. This dude's like, I think he found his calling, which is bare knuckle boxing. In MMA, he was good, but in bare knuckle boxing, he's like the best. So tour schedule coming up. Yes, we could just click that. It's not coming up. All right, I'm in Wichita, Kansas this week. Next week, I will be at the Tennessee, the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then in April, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be at Brooklyn the day before, a Thursday before the Khabib fight. I'm going to try to go to the Khabib Ferguson. I'll be in Brooklyn at the Eastville Comedy Club that week. And then April 11th and 12th, I will be at the Boca Club, Boca. And then, so then I got that. And then in May, I just booked, I'm going to be at the Blue Room, May 8th and 9th in Springfield, Illinois.
Go to the damn website.
Springfield, Missouri.
Figure it out. I'm really rambling through all of your dates, Adam.
All right. That's that. Thank you, Max, for coming on the podcast. Thank you, Mayhem. Thank you, Weendog. Take care, guys.
Problem.
Bye-bye.
And good night. Oh, idiot.
Oh, my God. Trap, sons, and trap, don't son. Trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та дэс тоотан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.